and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Discover Mosaic Restaurant, where every experience is memorable and every meal is a masterpiece. Join us for breakfast, lunch, dinner, happy hour, and weekend brunch in our indoor dining room, bar, and outdoor patios. Enjoy Mosaic handcrafted cocktails, fine wines, craft beers, stone oven pizza, and locally sourced specials. Conveniently located next to the Sheraton Reading Hotel, just steps from Turtle Bay Museum, Sundial Bridge, and beautiful garden. Turtle Bay members enjoy a 10% discount year-round. For menus and reservations, visit mosaicreading.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with my friend Neil Ferguson. He is, of course, one of the best historians working today. We had a discussion about World War II, Winston Churchill, who was the good guy, who was the bad guy. Here's what it sounded like.
Obviously, the bizarre podcast that set the historical world aflame was a podcast between Tucker Carlson and a person that he actually suggested was the best and most important historian working in the United States, most honest. It was a bizarre suggestion because the person he was speaking about was not, in fact, a historian. It was a person named Daryl Cooper who does a variety of long-form podcasts who then proceeded to make a series of pretty wild allegations about World War II. He suggested that Winston Churchill was the great villain of World War II. He made some suggestions that Hitler seemed to be rather misunderstood, which was a unique suggestion. So why don't we begin sort of from the beginning. The contention was made that the West was effectively wrong in World War II, that the better thing for Great Britain to have done would have been to sit aside, allow Nazi Germany to take over the entire European continent, and then turn its eyes toward the Soviet Union. How did World War II start? Was Churchill the bad guy? Was Hitler actually just a misunderstood person who just wanted a little bit more living room? What was the actual story here?
Well, if Hitler was a misunderstood person who just wanted a little more living room, then obviously I've wasted my entire life since I spent most of my adult years writing books and articles about 20th century history and specifically about Germany, where my career began many years ago now. I was puzzled by this podcast because I couldn't quite understand why Tucker Carlson had decided to promote someone I'd never heard of before. Daryl Cooper's not a historian, at least not in any sense that I understand the term. He's never published any history books. And his thoughts, if they really deserve the name thoughts, are essentially a rehash of what the Nazis said about themselves. Let's just be clear, this isn't some incredibly challenging revisionism overthrowing the established ideas of a previous generation. What Cooper does is to resuscitate what the Nazis said, that Churchill was the warmonger, that in fact he had strange and suspect relationships to Jews who were his backers, that Hitler really was a man of peace who was trying to protect Europe from Bolshevism, that the Russian prisoners of war on the Eastern Front just died because of bad luck and lack of adequate humanitarian aid. All of these things Cooper trots out in his conversation with Carlson. And apparently Carlson doesn't realize that this is the Nazi line that he's hearing. This is what the Germans said during World War II. And it's quite extraordinary to me that anybody should want to broadcast such a tissue of lies in 2024. I can't imagine why somebody would want to do that.
You know, it's kind of amazing. So one of the things that Tucker suggested is that he was distressed by the uses to which the myths about World War II have been put in the context of modern foreign policy. So if the objection is presumably to everybody comparing everybody to Hitler, or that the World War II is used as sort of the great example for everybody who wants to get involved in a conflict, it seems to me that the best way to rebut that would be to say, well, that's because these two things are dissimilar. So if you are, as Tucker is, not a fan of American intervention in Ukraine or even financial support for Ukraine, then try to distinguish it from World War II in a variety of ways. And we have these conversations all the time. But instead, he and Cooper decided to do something different, which was to basically say, not only are the lessons of World War II being misapplied, World War II itself is misunderstood in a dramatic way. And again, I hesitate to sort of attribute intentions, although I think Cooper's intentions are relatively clear. I think Tucker's are rather opaque. You know, when it comes to the actual history, which obviously you've spent your life studying, one of the things that, that Tucker says and is, well, now we're finally allowed to talk about this stuff. Now, as a historian, you're the historian, I'm not, I'm just a person who reads these books. It seems to me that people have been talking about this stuff rather a long time, and in fact, there are some pretty solid sources in the millions of pages about pretty much all of these topics.
Yes, it's hard to think of a topic that has been more heavily researched than the origins of World War II, or for that matter, the rise of Hitler. And so to claim that you could literally be thrown in jail for challenging some received mythology is bizarre. I wrote a chapter of my book, The War of the World, with the title Tainted Victory, making the point that there were all kinds of moral compromises involved in the victory the Allies won, not the least of which was that they were in alliance with Joseph Stalin and the totalitarian Soviet Union. And I don't remember facing criminal prosecution for challenging the mythology of World War II. So this is a straw man, if ever there was one. I think the argument that Churchill's the villain is only one of the kind of crazy things that is proposed here. Of course, there's a large revisionist literature on Churchill. There are lots of people who've made a career out of criticizing Churchill. On the right, there was John Cholmondeley, to name just one conservative historian, who said, well, Churchill actually threw away the British Empire and handed world power to the United States. And then on the left, there's any number of post-colonial scholars who want to say that Churchill was a terrible racist. But that's not what Cooper's telling us. Cooper is telling us that Churchill wanted World War II, that he turned down peace offers from Hitler on multiple occasions, that he actually enjoyed the war, that he was, quote, the chief villain of the Second World War, who was, I'll quote again, primarily responsible for that war becoming what it did, becoming something other than an invasion of Poland. And if one delves into Cooper's argument, it gradually becomes clear what he's doing. One is to believe that Hitler's offers of peace in 1939 and 1940 were sincere. He made those offers, but it was clear to Churchill and to others in the British government that what peace with Hitler implied was subjugation, was essentially accepting the outcome of the initial German campaigns, putting Germany in charge not only of Europe, but ultimately in charge of the world by subordinating the British Empire to German power. So these were not sincere peace offers, but we're being told by Cooper and implicitly by Carlson that they were. I think the other really interesting thing that comes out of this strange dialogue is that Churchill thirsted to bomb and kill German civilians. He brings forward the idea of firebombing, which was actually a part of the later strategic bombing campaign, to 1940. 1940 was the Battle of Britain, when the Germans were launching air attacks on Britain, and Britain's counter raids were really relatively small at this point and were clearly directed at industrial or economic targets, not very well directed because, of course, there was no precision bombing then. But the idea that it was really the British who were doing the terror bombing, and he calls it terrorism, is straight out of Goebbels' propaganda. That's exactly what was told to the German population at the time. So if you're completely ignorant of history, you might possibly fall for this. If you know history, you recognize that what Cooper's doing is, in fact, rehashing the German propaganda of the 1940s to smear Churchill. And then the real giveaway is when we get to Churchill's relationship with the Jews. Not only, we're told, was he a psychopath and a drunk, but he was also a dedicated booster of Zionism, quote unquote. And this is when, if you hadn't already spotted that there was something fishy going on, it's absolutely unmistakable. I'm just going to give you a little passage from the interview that stood out for me. You know, he says to Carlson, you read stories about Churchill going bankrupt and needing money, getting bailed out by people who shared his interests, you know, in terms of Zionism, but also his hostility. You know, I think his hostility, to put it this way, I think his hostility to Germany was real. I don't think that he necessarily had to be bribed to have that feeling. But, you know, I think he was, to an extent, put in place by people, the financiers, by a media complex. So Hitler, the good guy, Churchill, pawn of the Jews, somebody who to some extent had been bribed to pursue his war against Germany. This is Nazi propaganda, Ben. How could anybody possibly want this to be broadcast to become one of the most popular podcasts in the country? It's actually sick.
And here is where I think that, you know, it is quite dishonest that the sort of backfilling tactic that Tucker has used in the aftermath of this, where he has suggested, for example, you just want to shut down open and honest debate. I mean, first of all, he wasn't openly and honestly debating Darryl Cooper. He had him on, proceeded to praise him fulsomely, essentially back all of his points. And also, nobody is calling for the deplatforming of Tucker Carlson. They're pointing out that you know, backing this sort of nonsense is actually a wrong thing to do. And Darryl Cooper would go on in that same interview to make excuses for the Nazi atrocities on the Eastern Front. I mean, he openly says that effectively the reason why so many people died in Ukraine and Poland and in the East was because Hitler just had made no provision for all of the various prisoners of war and civilians who were going to get in the way. And they just sort of died. You know, that happens to me all the time. I'm just, you know, living my daily life and suddenly there's a trench in my backyard filled with human bodies. I don't know about you. It happens, you know, and it happens to the best of us. But what's the actual story with what Hitler was? It was an actual plan to starve people in these areas, aside from the plans for the concentration camps and death camps.
Right. So this is what's, again, deeply insidious. What Cooper does is to rehash the excuses that were subsequently made for the German army's involvement in mass murder. Prisoners of war protected by the Geneva Convention, but Red Army prisoners died in their millions in German captivity. We think perhaps as many as 3 million Soviet soldiers died as captives. And this was not an accident because they miscalculated the provisions that were needed. It was deliberate policy. And we know it's deliberate policy because documents like Rosenberg's Generalplan Ost, the General Plan East, specifically envision large-scale executions. And indeed, there were orders given after the launch of the Soviet invasion to German commanders to engage in, quote, a war of extermination. This was a phrase that Hitler was fond of, to weed out Bolshevik commissars and communist intelligentsia for execution. And what happened was that these categories were really quite elastic. There was also a fairly clear indication that Jews who fell into German hands should be executed. So the idea that there was something accidental about the mass death in the German-occupied parts of Eastern Europe is completely false. There is absolutely abundant documentation showing that there was a plan, not just for genocide directed against Jews, but for the wholesale ethnic cleansing, to use another euphemism, of the area under German control, that implied not only the genocide of the Jews, but also mass murder of non-Jewish populations, to be followed by the resettlement of these areas by ethnic Germans. So to claim that this is not that this wasn't the case is just to ignore decades of meticulous historical research by serious scholars.
Already coming up, more with historian Neil Ferguson. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders invites you to a free special community event Saturday, October 19th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This free event is open to the public and will feature on-site health screening, multicultural music, dancing, martial arts, and Native American practices. Free booth spaces are still available. Free international foods will also be featured, including Punjabi Indian food, Indonesian food, African food, American Mediterranean food, pizza, and even ice cream. Interact with speakers and learn more about health equity and climate resilience. Plus, there will be kids activities too. This event is co-sponsored by Shasta Interfaith, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. For more information, call 530-440-2626 or 530-339-0530. Don't miss this special event Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive, just off of Deschutes Road in Anderson.
The Reading Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, The Craft of Fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. But that's not all. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. And it's election season, so don't forget to vote.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So recently I had the chance to sit down with my friend, probably the best working historian, Neil Ferguson, to talk about World War II and, of course, its implications for the modern world. Here's what it sounded like.
Neil, one of the things I think that you know, is posited during that interview, and you hear this posited all the time, is this idea, again, that we just can't talk about this stuff. So there's this straw man history set up, and Cooper literally says this in the interview, that basically everything was hunky-dory under the Weimar Republic, and then all the Germans went simultaneously mad and elected Nazis. But again, one of the most hashed-over questions in all of human history is what happened to Germany? Why exactly did Germany turn to Hitler? Why did reasonable people decide that they were going to vote for Hitler in, say, the 1933 elections? Why was it that social conservatives, you know, people like Franz von Papen, decided that they would rather ally themselves with Hitler and elevate him to a position in the government? And obviously this is a subject that you've studied, you've written about. The Wars of the World, folks, if you haven't read the book, it's a tremendous piece of work from Neil specifically about a lot of these sorts of questions. So let's go through that. Why did the German people decide to elevate Hitler to a position of power?
Well, this is particularly strange to represent as forbidden fruit, since the debate has been going on uninterruptedly since the 1930s, when plenty of people from Bertolt Brecht to Thomas Mann asked the question, why are the Germans voting for this man? I think that literature offers all kinds of interesting explanations. What Cooper says is that he understands the German people And not only does he understand them, he sympathizes with them. Because, and here I'll quote again, they felt like they were the ones under attack, that they were the ones being victimized by their neighbors. Now, it's true that after the German defeat of 1918, the revolution of 1918-19 and the Versailles Treaty of 1919, many Germans were in denial about the fact that their country had lost World War One, and they were in revolt against both the Republic that had emerged from the revolution and the peace treaty. But none of that, it seems to me, is news. What's news is that somebody living in the United States today thinks that those grievances were a legitimate basis for the rise of Adolf Hitler and Hitler's pursuit of a policy that led to the invasion of Poland and the outbreak of World War II. It's the fact that Cooper is telling us not only what the Germans felt, which I don't think is controversial, but that they were right to feel it, and they were right, therefore, to back Hitler, that's so outrageous. So I think the literature, if I can cite one scholar, is in fact really nuanced on this. Michael Burley, a brilliant historian whose work on these questions I deeply respect, wrote a fantastic new history of the Third Reich more than 10 years ago, in which he made the point that Hitler's rise to power is partly a result of these grievances, but it's also partly because Hitler had a very unique charisma and a vision of national regeneration that tapped into all kinds of popular impulses. Hitler presented himself as a messiah, often used religious language of redemption, and especially appealed to German Protestants. In fact, practically the only thing that gave you any resistance to Hitler's appeal in Germany in the 1930s was being a Catholic. It's a very interesting finding. So I think we can argue not only that the Germans had grievances, but that Hitler plausibly presented himself as a national redeemer, kind of fake messiah. The Germans themselves were not thirsting for war, and when war broke out, there was a great deal of anxiety in Germany, because, of course, the Germans had suffered heavy losses in World War One. So the desire for national resurrection didn't necessarily imply war, but Hitler pursued war, and ultimately, you could argue, pursued the destruction of Germany. And this is something Cooper doesn't talk about, the death wish element that Hitler always had. Because although Hitler achieved initially great victories, most spectacularly in 1940, he then embarked on a series of strategic decisions that were highly likely to be disastrous. Not only the invasion of the Soviet Union, but the declaration of war on the United States. In short, there's a very large literature on what it was that led Hitler to come to power and led Germans to follow him. But this literature appears unknown to Darryl Cooper. Indeed, it's not clear to me what Darryl Cooper has actually read, because he never cites any historian when he's explaining his strange worldview to Tucker Carlson.
There seems in a lot of the arguments that are made about this, you know, from, let's say, not Darryl Cooper, but people who could be deemed sort of softer versions of Darryl Cooper. Pat Buchanan wrote a book on this in the 2000s, a sort of revisionist history of World War II. There's an implied counterfactual, which was that if Britain had cut a separate peace with the Germans in 1940, then that would have allowed the Germans to turn eastward, to have taken on the Soviet Union, to have rid the world of Bolshevik communism, and somehow this would have been better for the world in some way, which both tends to downplay the mass atrocities that were committed by the Germans, and also tends to, I think, ignore the fact that that would have had some knock-on effects, that if Germany had actually been able to conquer vast swaths of Eurasia and hold those vast swaths of Eurasia, that no peace deal with Britain would have then prevented some sort of consolidation of power between the Japanese and German spheres of influence to isolate the United States.
That's right. This kind of argument has a kind of history that goes back even further to the isolationists of the 1930s, Charles Lindbergh and others, who felt that the United States should stay out and who felt some sympathy with Hitler's goals, including his racial policy.
Already coming up, more with historian Neil Ferguson. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals. And the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395. License 109-0355.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Virginia or West Virginia.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So recently I had the chance to sit down with my friend, probably the best working historian, Neil Ferguson, to talk about World War II and, of course, its implications for the modern world. Here's what it sounded like.
In a book called Virtual History that now is quite old, goes back to the 1990s, I and Andrew Roberts and a group of other historians tried to think through the implications of what we call counterfactuals, the what-ifs. And we tried to do it in, I guess, a more rigorous way than the novelists who've addressed this question, Robert Harris and Len Dayton. There are plenty of books that imagine Hitler winning. But if you actually look closely at what Hitler's intentions were, what he would have done if, say, he'd been able to launch a successful invasion of England in 1940, or if he'd been able to defeat the Soviet Union, if Stalin had never recovered from Barbarossa, we know that Hitler's plans were not peaceful coexistence with the English-speaking peoples. There was a megalomania to Hitler, an intention always to go further. The goal of war with the United States was a part of Hitler's worldview. Brendan Sims has written recently on this, showing that anti-Americanism was a really important part of Hitler's ideology. Hitler had some somewhat confused ideas about the United States, but he certainly never intended, if he were victorious on the Eurasian landmass, to leave the United States alone. The Germans had a plan to build a large Atlantic fleet, the Z plan, which would not have been directed at anybody other than the United States had it ever been built. So I think there's plenty of documentary evidence that Hitler would not have stopped at the control of Europe. He wouldn't have stopped at the control of the United Kingdom if he'd successfully invaded it. There was a goal that was world dominance in partnership, remember, with the Axis powers and initially with the Soviet Union, because people sometimes forget that the Soviet Union and Hitler were allies at the beginning of World War II. This is a problem for the people who would like to imagine Hitler as a purely anti-Bolshevik or anti-communist figure. Opportunistically, at the beginning of World War II, he was in alliance with Stalin. And in a way, they were natural allies since they both represented extreme versions of totalitarianism.
So when we look at Winston Churchill, who, as you have mentioned, was completely demonized in this interview, seen as the chief villain of World War II, what is Winston Churchill's actual role in World War II? Was he truly, as people think he was, and I believe he was, the indispensable man of World War II? If Winston Churchill had never existed, how does the war go differently?
Well, I think AJP Taylor, who was no conservative, was right when he described Churchill in a footnote in his English history as the savior of his nation. But I actually went further in a book called Empire, written more than 20 years ago, arguing that Churchill was really the savior of the West, maybe even the savior of the world, because at the darkest moments of British history, which was in 1940, when the British Expeditionary Force had been evacuated from Dunkirk, entirely losing its equipment and also losing many men, it returned demoralized to Britain, and Britain faced the prospect of invasion and certainly the prospect of air attacks from Germany. There were many conservatives who were ready to consider some kind of settlement with Hitler. It wasn't as if there was unanimity that Britain should fight on. But Churchill, having consistently argued in the 1930s that Hitler posed a mortal threat, that Britain must rearm, arguments for which he was reviled at the time, had by 1940 won the legitimacy that led him to be prime minister. And Churchill inspired British people to fight on, even when the odds seemed daunting. And remember, this was at a time when Britain was alone. France had collapsed. Hitler controlled all of Western Europe. The United States was not in the war. And Britain also had to reckon with attacks by Italy and Japan, the other members of the Axis. So it's clear that Churchill was the vital factor, the indispensable man who rallied British morale and persuaded the British that they could fight on, if necessarily, alone. Anybody who's not listened to Churchill's wartime speeches, which are some of the most brilliant speeches ever given, and also some of the most powerful prose ever written, has missed out, because I think they're an indispensable part of an education. I used to play them to my children on an old audio cassette when I drove them to school. You can't understand Churchill's importance until you realize the power of those words. And my grandparents often used to refer to the influence and inspiration that Churchill gave. Even though my grandfather was no conservative, in fact, he was hostile to Churchill's domestic politics. But I think that's the thing that people miss. And they miss that if Churchill had not been there and another leader, say Lord Halifax, had negotiated terms with Hitler, that would not have been the end of it. That would just have given the Germans the opportunity to prepare for the next phase of Hitler's plan for world domination.
One of the claims that is constantly made about Churchill is the suggestion by revisionists that, for example, the reason that the Churchill did not sign some sort of separate peace was a pathetic attempt to maintain the British Empire, which, of course, I think ignores the actual terms that Germany would have imposed on Britain. If they were similar to what were imposed on France, then that would have meant, presumably, the dismantling or seizure of the British Navy, which would have meant a complete shift in world power. At the very least, it would have meant that the British would have to go neutral in the war in the Atlantic. It would have meant, presumably, access to oil resources in the Middle East that were controlled by the British and that Rommel attempted to gain in the middle of the war. And the follow-up effects of a peace between Germany and England would have meant German world domination, essentially.
And you can see why, therefore, those terms were rejected if you read the relevant parts of War of the Worlds, which was my attempt to address these issues. War of the Worlds shows why the policy of appeasement was adopted by Churchill's predecessors, Stanley Baldwin and Neville Chamberlain, and why it failed. Not because of naivety, but because I think of a miscalculation about what would happen if you just played for time. Appeasement was about playing for time to rearm. The problem was that Hitler got the time too, and he made better use of it. When the moment of truth came and the idea of some kind of separate peace or some kind of compromise with Hitler was discussed, it wasn't too hard for Churchill to win the argument, since it was so obvious to the other members of the cabinet that the peace was a phony peace that would have subjugated Britain and opened the door for German world domination. So I don't think anybody should take those peace offers at face value, especially as we have documentary evidence of what Hitler really thought. You see, the problem for Darrell Cooper, who's never done, as far as I can see, the necessary reading, is that he's unaware that even as Hitler was making peace offers, he was describing Britain as our hate-inspired antagonist, our eternal enemy, to the fellow members of the Nazi government in Berlin. So Hitler's own on the record as not being sincere in these peace offers.
So, Neil, one of the things that Tucker suggested about Darrell Cooper is he said that he was not using history as a weapon, a cudgel, or as a kind of propaganda tool. It seems pretty clear that precisely the opposite is the truth, that this entire sort of revisionist history is designed to push for an isolationist West that is friendlier with revanchist powers. That obviously has been Tucker's foreign policy as a general rule. He's much more isolationist on foreign policy. And again, I think there's a case to be made with regard to World War II that this example does not apply. But the reality is that what World War II, the big lesson that everybody took away from the post-World War II era is that if you actually wish to avoid war, the thing you need to do is rearm in the 30s. And so to avoid fighting a war in the 40s.
Correct. I mean, the real lesson of history is that Churchill was right in his analysis of the threat that Hitler posed and right that rearmament should have begun much earlier. It was left too late to deter Hitler from taking the enormous risks that he took in 1938 and 1939 that ultimately led to the outbreak of war. But Ben, I think we have to look at this as something other than a spurious historical debate. There's something else going on here, which I think is important. And it's the contemporary resonance of these old Nazi arguments. There's a moment in the dialogue when Carlson says to Cooper, I don't see you as hostile to the West. I see you actually as a product of the West and as a defender of the West for its values. And Cooper and he then start to riff on why Hungary is so much superior these days to England. And it's the critique of England that's especially revealing. But first, they say about Hungary, well, the Hungarians aren't afraid to say, this is Hungary, this is a country for Hungarians, this is a Christian country, this is our country. They don't have a problem saying that, Cooper says. And then they talk about modern London. And this is worth savoring because it's so revealing. Carlson says, it's totally degraded. I try not to go there because it's so depressing. It's just so sad. It's so broken. It's not the country of victors. It's a defeated, completely defeated country that's subsequently been invaded. If Churchill is a hero, how come there are British girls begging for drugs on the streets of London? And London is not majority English now. Like, what? And Cooper says, well, the people who formulated the version of history that considers Churchill a hero, they like London the way it is now. So one sees here what's really going on. This is something like the conversation that Tucker Carlson had with Vladimir Putin, which was equally bad from the point of view of its historiographical accuracy. Carlson allowed Putin to tell a complete farrago of lies about Russian and Ukrainian history in that interview. But the real point is not the history. The history is just a means to an end. And the end is to promote the idea that some terrible degradation has happened to Britain because of immigration. And really, it would be much better if Britain were more like Hungary, and perhaps also more like Russia, though they don't explicitly say that. So I think it becomes clear by the end of the dialogue that this isn't really a serious discussion of history at all. It's really about reviving arguments from the 1930s and 1940s in order to deploy them in this argument on the right about what do you do about mass migration and the emergence of a multi-ethnic Western Europe. They don't quite go right into great replacement theory, but that's clearly where the conversation is heading by the end. I think that's the point of this discussion, just in the same way that the conversation with Putin was not really about Russian history. It was really about legitimizing Putin's invasion of Ukraine. And this is the great irony of these conversations. We're living through right now a fascist regime attacking a democracy. Russia's the fascist regime. Putin's the dictator. They attacked Ukraine 2.5 years ago, and they've committed heinous war crimes, not on the scale of the Nazis, but certainly war crimes. And for whatever reason, perhaps one day this will be explained to me, Tucker Carlson, who was once a really talented broadcaster, has decided to legitimize Putin's regime to also stand up for the one European country that is sympathetic to Putin, which is Hungary and its leader, Viktor Orban, and to give airtime to people who want to tell spurious historical stories to support the argument that that's the West. Now, if Hungary, if Budapest and Russia and Moscow, if that's the West, then I'm geographically confused, Ben, because that was never the West when I was in high school.
We'll get to more on this in just one second. First.
Hey, everyone. This is Daily Wire Editor-in-Chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe.
We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Alrighty, coming up, more with historian Neil Ferguson. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Gran Habanos Corojo No. 5, with the unusual shaggy foot. Offering two distinct experiences, Corojo No. 5 comes from Honduras with Nicaraguan, Mexican, and Costa Rican tobaccos, finished off with a spicy Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper leaf for a heavy and rich smoke. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Qualify.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So recently I had the chance to sit down with my friend, probably the best working historian, Neil Ferguson, to talk about World War II and, of course, its implications for the modern world. Here's what it sounded like.
What's kind of amazing is the attempt to inject that debate into the World War II debate, because you can certainly make the argument that Britain has been too lax on immigration. It's one of the things that drove Brexit, for example. I mean, this is a very open argument that's being had right now all across Europe, everywhere from France to the Netherlands, everywhere from Britain to Hungary. And you can make contemporaneous political arguments about whether or not Europe ought to be allowing less immigrants or fewer immigrants. And I tend to agree with the immigration restrictionist side. I tend to believe that it's been a mistake to allow mass migrations from countries that don't have cultures that typically mesh particularly well with the West culture. Why that has to be connected with Britain winning World War II is something else. And that sort of suggests, again, a motivation which is to revitalize many of the arguments from the 30s and 40s, from the darkest parts of the human brain, that were used to justify the immigration restriction. Because I think, again, there are good arguments for immigration restriction, there are bad ones, and they're not equivalent.
But in a strange way, if your response to multi-ethnic London is to say Hitler was right and Churchill was wrong, then it's possible that you're really part of the problem, isn't it? I think there's something really insidious about trying to resuscitate Nazi arguments in the context of the debates that we have on immigration and multiculturalism. We can't unmake the multicultural societies that have evolved since Churchill's death. Bear in mind that the really big increase in immigration to the United Kingdom from outside Europe is of very recent origin. It's certainly long after Churchill's time. But it's a fact that Britain has become a multi-ethnic and multiracial society, as the United States is today, and London is a cosmopolitan city the way New York is. These are realities. if your response to these cities is, I wish Hitler had won World War II, then it seems to me you really don't have a place in a serious discourse about these issues. You've exposed yourself as somebody who would like to be aligned with the genocidal killers of the 1930s and 1940s, because this was the point of my book, War of the World. The Nazis, like all those racial movements that emerged out of the late 19th century, were reacting against the formation of multi-ethnic societies in the course of the 19th century. Mass migration in the late 19th century produced an America not unlike the America we see today, where, 14% of the population was foreign-born. We kind of have relived this globalization in our lifetimes, and it's produced similar levels of heterogeneity in our societies. And what happened in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s was a backlash against the formation of these multi-ethnic societies. And that backlash in its most toxic form was National Socialism, was Nazism, and its most toxic protagonist was Hitler. Now, surely the lesson of the mid-20th century is that the worst possible way to react to the emergence of multiracial societies is racial policies that aspire not just to forced resettlement, but to genocide. That seems to me like the single most obvious lesson of the 20th century. That the fact that there are people who want to go on their air and take Hitler's side in these debates, I find staggering. And it left me, honestly, Ben, with a feeling of failure. I spent a lot of my life making arguments about this, publishing books. And yeah, it's possible for somebody like Cooper to set himself up as a historian, having published nothing, having apparently spent no time in libraries or archives, and to pontificate in ways that are recognizably the arguments of the Nazis. I must have failed for this to be possible. At best, this should be some incredibly marginal contribution to public debate, which attracts only cranks, the kind of people who used to write letters in green ink. The fact that in 2024 something like this becomes a huge hit online is a terrible indictment of American education and the state of our culture today.
And Neil, I also think that it's a reflection of the fact that all of politics these days, and probably always, is just highly reactionary. And that the response to the political left closing the Overton window so narrow that nobody could fit inside unless you agree with their very specific positions on the issues. The response to that was not to broaden the Overton window so as to allow broader and more robust discourse. It was to completely explode the Overton window and then treat all arguments as equally credible and as equally meritorious.
Right. In the end, there are serious debates to be had about World War II and about the rise of Hitler. I wish more of them were going on at Harvard and Yale and Columbia, and for that matter, Stanford. In truth, teaching of the Third Reich and the Holocaust and World War II does not go on any very large scale in American higher education today, much less in American high schools. And so part of what we see here is that there's an audience of people who really don't know terribly much about these issues, and they're very susceptible, therefore, to sensationalism, to claims that something terribly daring is being proposed. Obviously, part of what's going on here is forbidden fruit. The more censorious the left becomes, the more certain people are attracted to the transgressive ideas of the right. But I don't think this game would really work if people were just a bit better educated about what happened in the 1930s and 1940s. I think our knowledge of that history has decayed quite dramatically in the last 20 years. And that's part of the reason, not only that people are taken in by Darryl Cooper, it's also part of the reason why woke students on the left are taken in by Islamist propaganda, which completely misrepresents the history of Israel and essentially writes the Holocaust out of history.
Well, Neil Ferguson, I really appreciate the time, and I really appreciate the arguments that you're making, obviously. I think it is fair to call you the best and most honest historian working today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben. That's very kind of you.
All right, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. In a roundtable discussion with professionals in Michigan, former President Donald Trump, after hearing from several police union leaders about police reform, says too many officers are being prosecuted when things go wrong on the job.
Literally a quarter of a second to make a decision, and if it's the wrong decision, their life is over. And we have to help people out now. It's time. So we're going to do the immunity thing, and we're going to fight alongside of them. We have to. We have to stop being politically correct. And you're always going to have some bad apples, but they are very, very few.
The former president says he will make sure the auto industry continues production in this country.
We talk about cars because it's so nice to talk about cars. You know, it's sort of the ultimate thing to manufacture. But we're going to bring back a lot of industry, and it's going to be great.
Also at townhall.com, there's been a massive blackout in Cuba.
One of the island's major power plants failed. The government is implementing emergency measures to cut power demand, including suspending classes, shutting down some state-owned workplaces, and canceling non-essential services. Prime Minister Manuel Marrero says it is important what I have just explained because there is the matrix of the opinion of the enemies that this is going to get worse, that this is not going to be solved. And with all the objectivity and transparency that it deserves, we are not in the bottom of the abyss. The outage is being blamed on increased demand from small and medium-sized companies and home air conditioners, as well as breakdowns in old thermoelectric plants. I'm Ed Donahue.
A large group of illegal immigrants spotted in Texas near the southern border, including some from Iran and Africa. Video footage captured from a drone shows 134 migrants in Maverick County on Thursday, which sits on the Texas-Mexico border. The group included 32 unaccompanied children and minors and several special interest immigrants from Iran and Angola. Those are the ones who pose a national security to the country. This is townhall.com.
What the instability of our economy after this election has many worried, and stocks and bonds could be the first to collapse. Countless Americans are turning to the safest store of wealth in human history to protect their retirement accounts. Physical precious metals. Gold has been a safe haven asset for generations. At Premier Gold, we specialize in helping those with a 401k, IRA, or other types of retirement accounts convert their vulnerable paper assets into physical gold to protect their hard-earned savings. Today, we'd like to send you a free gold election kit to help you decide if this is right for you. Call 606-800-8000 to claim yours. Act before the election to take advantage of the current rollover policies, allowing for a quick and seamless transfer into physical gold or silver. Don't let the outcome of this election influence the fate of your financial future. Call 606-800-8000 now. Premier Gold is not a financial advisor. Please consult with your advisor before investing. Call 606-800-8000.
Special correspondent Lisa Dwyer reports on the early voting numbers for the first day in North Carolina.
The number of people casting ballots on the first day of early in-person voting in presidential battleground North Carolina exceeded the first day total 4 years ago, even as Hurricane Helene recovery continues in the mountains. The State Board of Elections says there were about 4,600 more votes cast Thursday than the number cast on the first day of early voting in 2020. Election officials say the numbers are preliminary and are expected to rise even further. Nearly all of the early voting sites in the counties hardest hit by the storm were able to open Thursday. Early voting in North Carolina continues through November 2nd. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
You'll find more breaking news and analysis, more headlines and stories online at townhall.com. As you log on, you'll find all the analysis that you need. So spend some time at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. It is getting windy out west, and that is a problem.
A weather event called the Diablo Wind is expected to whip across Northern California and cause humidity levels to drop and raise the risk of wildfires. Forecasters issuing red flag warnings for fire danger through Saturday from the Central California coast up to nearly the Oregon border. Pacific Gas and Electric prepared to turn off power to a small number of customers in areas where strong gusts could damage electrical equipment and spark blazes. Power shutoffs also possible in Southern California. John Scott reporting.
Stocks rose to records to close out their latest winning week, the S&P 500 climbing 0.4% earlier today to squeak past the all-time high that it set earlier in the week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average adding 0.1% to its own record. The NASDAQ composite gained 0.6%. Netflix helped drive the market after the streaming giant reported stronger profits in the latest quarter. You'll find more at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders invites you to a free special community event Saturday, October 19th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This free event is open to the public and will feature on-site health screening, multicultural music, dancing, martial arts, and Native American practices. Free booth spaces are still available. Free international foods will also be featured, including Punjabi Indian food, Indonesian food, African food, American Mediterranean food, pizza, and even ice cream. Interact with speakers and learn more about health equity and climate resilience. Plus, there will be kids' activities, too. This event is co-sponsored by Shasta Interfaith, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. For more information, call 530-440-2626 or 530-339-0530. Don't miss this special event Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive, just off of Deschutes Road in Anderson.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with my friend Neil Ferguson. He is, of course, one of the best historians working today. We had a discussion about World War II, Winston Churchill, who was the good guy, who was the bad guy. Here's what it sounded like.
Obviously, the bizarre podcast that set the historical world aflame was a podcast between Tucker Carlson and a person that he actually suggested was the best and most important historian working in the United States, most honest. It was a bizarre suggestion because the person he was speaking about was not, in fact, a historian. There was a person named Daryl Cooper who does a variety of long-form podcasts who then proceeded to make a series of pretty wild allegations about World War II. He suggested that Winston Churchill was the great villain of World War II. He made some suggestions that Hitler seemed to be rather misunderstood, which was a unique suggestion. So why don't we begin sort of from the beginning. The contention was made that the West was effectively wrong in World War II, that the better thing for Great Britain to have done would have been to sit aside, allow Nazi Germany to take over the entire European continent, and then turn its eyes toward the Soviet Union. How did World War II start? Was Churchill the bad guy? Was Hitler actually just a misunderstood person who just wanted a little bit more living room? What was the actual story here?
Well, if Hitler was a misunderstood person who just wanted a little more living room, then obviously I've wasted my entire life, since I spent most of my adult years writing books and articles about 20th century history and specifically about Germany, where my career began many years ago now. I was puzzled by this podcast because I couldn't quite understand why Tucker Carlson had decided to promote someone I'd never heard of before. Daryl Cooper's not a historian, at least not in any sense that I understand the term. He's never published any history books. And his thoughts, if they really deserve the name thoughts, are essentially a rehash of what the Nazis said about themselves. Let's just be clear, this isn't some incredibly challenging revisionism overthrowing the established ideas of a previous generation. What Cooper does is to resuscitate what the Nazis said, that Churchill was the warmonger, that in fact he had strange and suspect relationships to Jews who were his backers, that Hitler really was a man of peace who was trying to protect Europe from Bolshevism, that the Russian prisoners of war on the Eastern Front just died because of bad luck and lack of adequate humanitarian aid. All of these things Cooper trots out in his conversation with Carlson. And apparently Carlson doesn't realize that this is the Nazi line that he's hearing. This is what the Germans said during World War II. And it's quite extraordinary to me that anybody should want to broadcast such a tissue of lies in 2024. I can't imagine why somebody would want to do that.
You know, it's kind of amazing. So one of the things that Tucker suggested is that he was distressed by the uses to which the myths about World War II have been put in the context of modern foreign policy. So if the objection is presumably to everybody comparing everybody to Hitler, or that the World War II is used as sort of the great example for everybody who wants to get involved in a conflict, it seems to me that the best way to rebut that would be to say, well, that's because these two things are dissimilar. So if you are, as Tucker is, not a fan of American intervention in Ukraine or even financial support for Ukraine, then try to distinguish it from World War II in a variety of ways. And we have these conversations all the time. But instead, he and Cooper decided to do something different, which was to basically say, not only are the lessons of World War II being misapplied, World War II itself is misunderstood in a dramatic way. And again, I hesitate to sort of attribute intentions, although I think Cooper's intentions are relatively clear. I think Tucker's are rather opaque. You know, when it comes to the actual history, which obviously you've spent your life studying, one of the things that, that Tucker says and is, well, now we're finally allowed to talk about this stuff. Now, as a historian, you're the historian, I'm not, I'm just a person who reads these books. It seems to me that people have been talking about this stuff rather a long time, and in fact, there are some pretty solid sources in the millions of pages about pretty much all of these topics.
Yes, it's hard to think of a topic that has been more heavily researched than the origins of World War II, or for that matter, the rise of Hitler. And so to claim that you could literally be thrown in jail for challenging some received mythology is bizarre. I wrote a chapter of my book, The War of the World, with the title Tainted Victory, making the point that there were all kinds of moral compromises involved in the victory the Allies won, not the least of which was that they were in alliance with Joseph Stalin and the totalitarian Soviet Union. And I don't remember facing criminal prosecution for challenging the mythology of World War II. So this is a straw man, if ever there was one. I think the argument that Churchill's the villain is only one of the kind of crazy things that is proposed here. Of course, there's a large revisionist literature on Churchill. There are lots of people who've made a career out of criticizing Churchill. On the right, there was John Cholmondeley, to name just one conservative historian, who said, well, Churchill actually threw away the British Empire and handed world power to the United States. And then on the left, there's any number of post-colonial scholars who want to say that Churchill was a terrible racist. But that's not what Cooper's telling us. Cooper is telling us that Churchill wanted World War II, that he turned down peace offers from Hitler on multiple occasions, that he actually enjoyed the war, that he was, quote, the chief villain of the Second World War, who was, I'll quote again, primarily responsible for that war becoming what it did, becoming something other than an invasion of Poland. And if one delves into Cooper's argument, it gradually becomes clear what he's doing. One is to believe that Hitler's offers of peace in 1939 and 1940 were sincere. He made those offers, but it was clear to Churchill and to others in the British government that what peace with Hitler implied was subjugation, was essentially accepting the outcome of the initial German campaigns, putting Germany in charge not only of Europe, but ultimately in charge of the world by subordinating the British Empire to German power. So these were not sincere peace offers, but we're being told by Cooper and implicitly by Carlson that they were. I think the other really interesting thing that comes out of this strange dialogue is that Churchill thirsted to bomb and kill German civilians. He brings forward the idea of firebombing, which was actually a part of the later strategic bombing campaign, to 1940. 1940 was the Battle of Britain, when the Germans were launching air attacks on Britain, and Britain's counter raids were really relatively small at this point and were clearly directed at industrial or economic targets, not very well directed because, of course, there was no precision bombing then. But the idea that it was really the British who were doing the terror bombing, and he calls it terrorism, is straight out of Goebbels' propaganda. That's exactly what was told to the German population at the time. So if you're completely ignorant of history, you might possibly fall for this. If you know history, you recognize that what Cooper's doing is, in fact, rehashing the German propaganda of the 1940s to smear Churchill. And then the real giveaway is when we get to Churchill's relationship with the Jews. Not only, we're told, was he a psychopath and a drunk, but he was also a dedicated booster of Zionism, quote unquote. And this is when, if you hadn't already spotted that there was something fishy going on, it's absolutely unmistakable. I'm just going to give you a little passage from the interview that stood out for me. You know, he says to Carlson, you read stories about Churchill going bankrupt and needing money, getting bailed out by people who shared his interests, you know, in terms of Zionism, but also his hostility. You know, I think his hostility, to put it this way, I think his hostility to Germany was real. I don't think that he necessarily had to be bribed to have that feeling. But, you know, I think he was, to an extent, put in place by people, the financiers, by a media complex. So Hitler, the good guy, Churchill, pawn of the Jews, somebody who to some extent had been bribed to pursue his war against Germany. This is Nazi propaganda, Ben. How did anybody possibly want this to be broadcast to become one of the most popular podcasts in the country? It's actually sick.
And here is where I think that, you know, it is quite dishonest that the sort of backfilling tactic that Tucker has used in the aftermath of this, where he has suggested, for example, you just want to shut down open and honest debate. I mean, first of all, he wasn't openly and honestly debating Darryl Cooper. He had him on, proceeded to praise him fulsomely, essentially back all of his points. And also, nobody is calling for the deplatforming of Tucker Carlson. They're pointing out that you know, backing this sort of nonsense is actually a wrong thing to do. And Darryl Cooper would go on in that same interview to make excuses for the Nazi atrocities on the Eastern Front. I mean, he openly says that effectively the reason why so many people died in Ukraine and Poland and in the East was because Hitler just had made no provision for all of the various prisoners of war and civilians who were going to get in the way, and they just sort of died. You know, that happens to me all the time. I'm just, you know, living my daily life, and suddenly there's a trench in my backyard filled with human bodies. I don't know about you. It happens, you know, and it happens to the best of us. But what's the actual story with what Hitler was? It was an actual plan to starve people in these areas, aside from the plans for the concentration camps and death camps.
Right. So this is what's, again, deeply insidious. What Cooper does is to rehash the excuses that were subsequently made for the German army's involvement in mass murder. Prisoners of war protected by the Geneva Convention, but Red Army prisoners died in their millions in German captivity. We think perhaps as many as 3 million Soviet soldiers died as captives. And this was not an accident because they miscalculated the provisions that were needed. It was deliberate policy. And we know it's deliberate policy because documents like Rosenberg's Generalplan Ost, the General Plan East, specifically envision large-scale executions. And indeed, there were orders given after the launch of the Soviet invasion to German commanders to engage in, quote, a war of extermination. This was a phrase that Hitler was fond of, to weed out Bolshevik commissars and communist intelligentsia for execution. And what happened was that these categories were really quite elastic. There was also a fairly clear indication that Jews who fell into German hands should be executed. So the idea that there was something accidental about the mass death in the German-occupied parts of Eastern Europe is completely false. There is absolutely abundant documentation showing that there was a plan, not just for genocide directed against Jews, but for the wholesale ethnic cleansing, to use another euphemism, of the area under German control, that implied not only the genocide of the Jews, but also mass murder of non-Jewish populations, to be followed by the resettlement of these areas by ethnic Germans. So to claim that this is not, that this wasn't the case, is just to ignore decades of meticulous historical research by serious scholars.
Already coming up, more with historian Neil Ferguson. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. But that's not all. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. And it's election season, so don't forget to vote.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45 and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45 and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So recently I had the chance to sit down with my friend, probably the best working historian, Neil Ferguson, to talk about World War II and, of course, its implications for the modern world is what it sounded like.
Neil, one of the things I think that you know, is posited during that interview, and you hear this posited all the time, is this idea, again, that we just can't talk about this stuff. So that there's this straw man history set up, and Cooper literally says this in the interview, that basically everything was hunky-dory under the Weimar Republic, and then all the Germans went simultaneously mad and elected Nazis. But again, one of the most hashed-over questions in all of human history is what happened to Germany? Why exactly did Germany turn to Hitler? Why did reasonable people decide that they were going to vote for Hitler in, say, the 1933 elections? Why was it that social conservatives, you know, people like Franz von Papen, decided that they would rather ally themselves with Hitler and elevate him to a position in the government? And obviously this is a subject that you've studied, you've written about, the Wars of the World, folks, if you haven't read the book, it's a tremendous piece of work from Neil specifically about a lot of these sorts of questions. So let's go through that. Why did the German people decide to elevate Hitler to a position of power?
Well, this is particularly strange to represent as forbidden fruit, since the debate has been going on uninterruptedly since the 1930s, when plenty of people from Bertolt Brecht to Thomas Mann asked the question, why are the Germans voting for this man? I think that literature offers all kinds of interesting explanations. What Cooper says is that he understands the German people, And not only does he understand them, he sympathizes with them. Because, and here I'll quote again, they felt like they were the ones under attack, that they were the ones being victimized by their neighbors. Now, it's true that after the German defeat of 1918, the revolution of 1918-19 and the Versailles Treaty of 1919, many Germans were in denial about the fact that their country had lost World War One, and they were in revolt against both the Republic that had emerged from the revolution and the peace treaty. But none of that, it seems to me, is news. What's news is that somebody living in the United States today thinks that those grievances were a legitimate basis for the rise of Adolf Hitler and Hitler's pursuit of a policy that led to the invasion of Poland and the outbreak of World War II. It's the fact that Cooper is telling us not only what the Germans felt, which I don't think is controversial, but that they were right to feel it, and they were right, therefore, to back Hitler, that's so outrageous. So I think the literature, if I can cite one scholar, is in fact really nuanced on this. Michael Burley, a brilliant historian whose work on these questions I deeply respect, wrote a fantastic new history of the Third Reich more than 10 years ago, in which he made the point that Hitler's rise to power is partly a result of these grievances, but it's also partly because Hitler had a very unique charisma and a vision of national regeneration that tapped into all kinds of popular impulses. Hitler presented himself as a messiah, often used religious language of redemption, and especially appealed to German Protestants. In fact, practically the only thing that gave you any resistance to Hitler's appeal in Germany in the 1930s was being a Catholic. It's a very interesting finding. So I think we can argue not only that the Germans had grievances, but that Hitler plausibly presented himself as a national redeemer, kind of fake messiah. The Germans themselves were not thirsting for war, and when war broke out, there was a great deal of anxiety in Germany, because, of course, the Germans had suffered heavy losses in World War One. So the desire for national resurrection didn't necessarily imply war, but Hitler pursued war, and ultimately, you could argue, pursued the destruction of Germany. And this is something Cooper doesn't talk about, the death wish element that Hitler always had. Because although Hitler achieved initially great victories, most spectacularly in 1940, he then embarked on a series of strategic decisions that were highly likely to be disastrous. Not only the invasion of the Soviet Union, but the declaration of war on the United States. In short, there's a very large literature on what it was that led Hitler to come to power and led Germans to follow him. But this literature appears unknown to Darryl Cooper. Indeed, it's not clear to me what Darryl Cooper has actually read, because he never cites any historian when he's explaining his strange worldview to Tucker Carlson.
There seems in a lot of the arguments that are made about this, you know, from, let's say, not Darryl Cooper, but people who could be deemed sort of softer versions of Darryl Cooper. Pat Buchanan wrote a book on this in the 2000s, a sort of revisionist history of World War II. There's an implied counterfactual, which was that if Britain had cut a separate peace with the Germans in 1940, then that would have allowed the Germans to turn eastward, to have taken on the Soviet Union, to have rid the world of Bolshevik communism, and somehow this would have been better for the world in some way, which both tends to downplay the mass atrocities that were committed by the Germans, and also tends to, I think, ignore the fact that that would have had some knock-on effects, that if Germany had actually been able to conquer vast swaths of Eurasia and hold those vast swaths of Eurasia, that no peace deal with Britain would have then prevented some sort of consolidation of power between the Japanese and German spheres of influence to isolate the United States.
That's right. This kind of argument has a kind of history that goes back even further to the isolationists of the 1930s, Charles Lindbergh and others, who felt that the United States should stay out and who felt some sympathy with Hitler's goals, including his racial policy.
Already coming up, more with historian Neil Ferguson. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Discover Mosaic Restaurant, where every experience is memorable and every meal is a masterpiece. Join us for breakfast, lunch, dinner, happy hour, and weekend brunch in our indoor dining room, bar, and outdoor patios. Enjoy Mosaic handcrafted cocktails, fine wines, craft beers, stone oven pizza, and locally sourced specials. Conveniently located next to the Sheraton Reading Hotel, just steps from Turtle Bay Museum, Sundial Bridge, and beautiful gardens. Turtle Bay members enjoy a 10% discount year-round. For menus and reservations, visit mosaicreading.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Virginia.
or West Virginia.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So recently I had the chance to sit down with my friend, probably the best working historian, Neil Ferguson, to talk about World War II and, of course, its implications for the modern world. Here's what it sounded like.
In a book called Virtual History that now is quite old, goes back to the 1990s, I and Andrew Roberts and a group of other historians tried to think through the implications of what we call counterfactuals, the what-ifs. And we tried to do it in, I guess, a more rigorous way than the novelists who've addressed this question, Robert Harris and Len Dayton. There are plenty of books that imagine Hitler winning. But if you actually look closely at what Hitler's intentions were, what he would have done if, say, he'd been able to launch a successful invasion of England in 1940, or if he'd been able to defeat the Soviet Union, if Stalin had never recovered from Barbarossa, we know that Hitler's plans were not peaceful coexistence with the English-speaking peoples. There was a megalomania to Hitler, an intention always to go further. The goal of war with the United States was a part of Hitler's worldview. Brendan Sims has written recently on this, showing that anti-Americanism was a really important part of Hitler's ideology. Hitler had some somewhat confused ideas about the United States, but he certainly never intended, if he were victorious on the Eurasian landmass, to leave the United States alone. The Germans had a plan to build a large Atlantic fleet, the Z-Plan or Z-Plan, which would not have been directed at anybody other than the United States had it ever been built. So I think there's plenty of documentary evidence that Hitler would not have stopped at the control of Europe. He wouldn't have stopped at the control of the United Kingdom if he'd successfully invaded it. There was a goal that was world dominance in partnership, remember, with the Axis powers and initially with the Soviet Union, because people sometimes forget that the Soviet Union and Hitler were allies at the beginning of World War II. This is a problem for the people who would like to imagine Hitler as a purely anti-Bolshevik or anti-communist figure. Opportunistically, at the beginning of World War II, he was in alliance with Stalin. And in a way, they were natural allies, since they both represented extreme versions of totalitarianism.
So when we look at Winston Churchill, who, as you have mentioned, was completely demonized in this interview, seen as the chief villain of World War II, what is Winston Churchill's actual role in World War II? Was he truly, as people think he was, and I believe he was, the indispensable man of World War II? If Winston Churchill had never existed, how does the war go differently?
Well, I think A.J.P. Taylor, who was no conservative, was right when he described Churchill in a footnote in his English history as the savior of his nation. But I actually went further in a book called Empire, written more than 20 years ago, arguing that Churchill was really the savior of the West, maybe even the savior of the world, because at the darkest moment of British history, which was in 1940, when the British Expeditionary Force had been evacuated from Dunkirk, entirely losing its equipment and also losing many men, it returned demoralized to Britain, and Britain faced the prospect of invasion and certainly the prospect of air attacks from Germany. There were many conservatives who were ready to consider some kind of settlement with Hitler. It wasn't as if there was unanimity that Britain should fight on. But Churchill, having consistently argued in the 1930s that Hitler posed a mortal threat, that Britain must rearm, arguments for which he was reviled at the time, had by 1940 won the legitimacy that led him to be prime minister. And Churchill inspired British people to fight on, even when the odds seemed daunting. And remember, this was at a time when Britain was alone. France had collapsed. Hitler controlled all of Western Europe. The United States was not in the war. And Britain also had to reckon with attacks by Italy and Japan, the other members of the Axis. So it's clear that Churchill was the vital factor, the indispensable man who rallied British morale and persuaded the British that they could fight on, if necessarily alone. anybody who's not listened to Churchill's wartime speeches, which are some of the most brilliant speeches ever given, and also some of the most powerful prose ever written, has missed out, because I think they're an indispensable part of an education. I used to play them to my children on an old audio cassette when I drove them to school. You can't understand Churchill's importance until you realize the power of those words. And my grandparents often used to refer to the influence and inspiration that Churchill gave. Even though my grandfather was no conservative, in fact, he was hostile to Churchill's domestic politics. But I think that's the thing that people miss. And they miss that if Churchill had not been there, and another leader, say Lord Halifax, had negotiated terms with Hitler, that would not have been the end of it. That would just have given the Germans the opportunity to prepare for the next phase of Hitler's plan for world domination.
One of the claims that is constantly made about Churchill is the suggestion by revisionists that, for example, the reason that Churchill did not sign some sort of separate peace was a pathetic attempt to maintain the British Empire, which, of course, I think ignores the actual terms that Germany would have imposed on Britain. If they were similar to what were imposed on France, then that would have meant, presumably, the dismantling or seizure of the British Navy, which would have meant a complete shift in world power. At the very least, it would have meant that the British would have to go neutral in the war in the Atlantic. It would have meant, presumably, access to oil resources in the Middle East that were controlled by the British and that Rommel attempted to gain in the middle of the war. And the follow-up effects of a peace between Germany and England would have meant German world domination, essentially.
And you can see why, therefore, those terms were rejected if you read the relevant parts of War of the World, which was my attempt to address these issues. War of the World shows why the policy of appeasement was adopted by Churchill's predecessors, Stanley Baldwin and Neville Chamberlain, and why it failed. Not because of naivety, but because I think of a miscalculation about what would happen if you just played for time. Appeasement was about playing for time to rearm. The problem was that Hitler got the time too, and he made better use of it. When the moment of truth came and the idea of some kind of separate peace or some kind of compromise with Hitler was discussed, it wasn't too hard for Churchill to win the argument, since it was so obvious to the other members of the cabinet that the peace was a phony peace that would have subjugated Britain and opened the door for German world domination. So I don't think anybody should take those peace offers at face value, especially as we have documentary evidence of what Hitler really thought. You see, the problem for Darryl Cooper, who's never done, as far as I can see, the necessary reading, is that he's unaware that even as Hitler was making peace offers, he was describing Britain as our hate-inspired antagonist, our eternal enemy, to the fellow members of the Nazi government in Berlin. So Hitler's own on the record as not being sincere in these peace offers.
So, Neil, one of the things that Tucker suggested about Darryl Cooper is he said that he was not using history as a weapon, a cudgel, or as a kind of propaganda tool. It seems pretty clear that precisely the opposite is the truth, that this entire sort of revisionist history is designed to push for an isolationist West that is friendlier with revanchist powers. That obviously has been Tucker's foreign policy as a general rule. He's much more isolationist on foreign policy. And again, I think there's a case to be made with regard to World War II that this example does not apply. But the reality is that what World War II, the big lesson that everybody took away from the post-World War II era is that if you actually wish to avoid war, the thing you need to do is rearm in the 30s. And so it's to avoid fighting a war in the 40s.
Correct. I mean, the real lesson of history is that Churchill was right in his analysis of the threat that Hitler posed and right that rearmament should have begun much earlier. It was left too late to deter Hitler from taking the enormous risks that he took in 1938 and 1939 that ultimately led to the outbreak of war. But Ben, I think we have to look at this as something other than a spurious historical debate. There's something else going on here, which I think is important. And it's the contemporary resonance of these old Nazi arguments. There's a moment in the dialogue when Carlson says to Cooper, I don't see you as hostile to the West. I see you actually as a product of the West and as a defender of the West for its values. And Cooper and he then start to riff on why Hungary is so much superior these days to England. And it's the critique of England that's especially revealing. But first, they say about Hungary, well, that Hungarians aren't afraid to say, this is Hungary, this is a country for Hungarians, this is a Christian country, this is our country. They don't have a problem saying that, Cooper says. And then they talk about modern London. And this is worth savoring because it's so revealing. Carlson says, it's totally degraded. I try not to go there because it's so depressing. It's just so sad. It's so broken. It's not the country of victors. It's a defeated, completely defeated country that's subsequently been invaded. If Churchill is a hero, how come there are British girls begging for drugs on the streets of London? And London is not majority English now. Like, what? And Cooper says, well, the people who formulated the version of history that considers Churchill a hero, they like London the way it is now. So one sees here what's really going on. This is something like the conversation that Tucker Carlson had with Vladimir Putin, which was equally bad from the point of view of its historiographical accuracy. Carlson allowed Putin to tell a complete farrago of lies about Russian and Ukrainian history in that interview. But the real point is not the history. The history is just a means to an end. And the end is to promote the idea that some terrible degradation has happened to Britain because of immigration. And really, it would be much better if Britain were more like Hungary, and perhaps also more like Russia, though they don't explicitly say that. So I think it becomes clear by the end of the dialogue that this isn't really a serious discussion of history at all. It's really about reviving arguments from the 1930s and 1940s in order to deploy them in this argument on the right about what do you do about mass migration and the emergence of a multi-ethnic Western Europe. They don't quite go right into great replacement theory, but that's clearly where the conversation is heading by the end. I think that's the point of this discussion, just in the same way that the conversation with Putin was not really about Russian history. It was really about legitimizing Putin's invasion of Ukraine. And this is the great irony of these conversations. We're living through right now a fascist regime attacking a democracy. Russia's the fascist regime. Putin's the dictator. They attacked Ukraine 2.5 years ago, and they've committed heinous war crimes, not on the scale of the Nazis, but certainly war crimes. And for whatever reason, perhaps one day this will be explained to me, Tucker Carlson, who was once a really talented broadcaster, has decided to legitimize Putin's regime to also stand up for the one European country that is sympathetic to Putin, which is Hungary and its leader, Viktor Orban, and to give airtime to people who want to tell spurious historical stories to support the argument that that's the West. Now, if Hungary, if Budapest and Russia and Moscow, if that's the West, then I'm geographically confused, Ben, because that was never the West when I was in high school.
We'll get to more on this in just one second. First.
Hey, everyone. This is Daily Wire Editor-in-Chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe.
We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Alrighty, coming up, more with historian Neil Ferguson. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Inviting cultures beyond borders invites you to a free special community event Saturday, October 19th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This free event is open to the public and will feature on-site health screening, multicultural music, dancing, martial arts, and Native American practices. Free booth spaces are still available. Free international foods will also be featured, including Punjabi Indian food, Indonesian food, African food, American Mediterranean food, pizza, and even ice
ice cream, interact with speakers, and learn more about health equity and climate resilience. Plus, there will be kids' activities, too. This event is co-sponsored by Shasta Interfaith, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. For more information, call 530-440-2626 or 530-339-0530. Don't miss this special event Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive, just off of Deschutes Road in Anderson.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals. And the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So recently I had the chance to sit down with my friend, probably the best working historian, Neil Ferguson, to talk about World War II and, of course, its implications for the modern world. Here's what it sounded like.
What's kind of amazing is the attempt to inject that debate into the World War II debate, because you can certainly make the argument that Britain has been too lax on immigration. It's one of the things that drove Brexit, for example. I mean, this is a very open argument that's being had right now all across Europe, everywhere from France to the Netherlands, everywhere from Britain to Hungary. And you can make contemporaneous political arguments about whether or not Europe ought to be allowing less immigrants or fewer immigrants. And I tend to agree with the immigration restrictionist side. I tend to believe that it's been a mistake to allow mass migrations from countries that don't have cultures that typically mesh particularly well with the West culture. Why that has to be connected with Britain winning World War II is something else. And that sort of suggests, again, a motivation, which is to revitalize many of the arguments from the 30s and 40s, from the darkest parts of the human brain, that were used to justify the immigration restriction. Because I think, again, there are good arguments for immigration restriction, there are bad ones, and they are not equivalent.
But in a strange way, if your response to multi-ethnic London is to say Hitler was right and Churchill was wrong, then it's possible that you're really part of the problem, isn't it? I think there's something really insidious about trying to resuscitate Nazi arguments in the context of the debates that we have on immigration and multiculturalism. We can't unmake the multicultural societies that have evolved since Churchill's death. Bear in mind that the really big increase in immigration to the United Kingdom from outside Europe is of very recent origin. It's certainly long after Churchill's time. But it's a fact that Britain has become a multi-ethnic and multiracial society, as the United States is today, and London is a cosmopolitan city the way New York is. These are realities. if your response to these cities is, I wish Hitler had won World War II, then it seems to me you really don't have a place in serious discourse about these issues. You've exposed yourself as somebody who would like to be aligned with the genocidal killers of the 1930s and 1940s, because this was the point of my book, War of the World. The Nazis, like all those racial movements that emerged out of the late 19th century, were reacting against the formation of multi-ethnic societies in the course of the 19th century. Mass migration in the late 19th century produced an America not unlike the America we see today, where, 14% of the population was foreign-born. We kind of have relived this globalization in our lifetimes, and it's produced similar levels of heterogeneity in our societies. And what happened in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s was a backlash against the formation of these multi-ethnic societies. And that backlash in its most toxic form was National Socialism, was Nazism, and its most toxic protagonist was Hitler. Now, surely the lesson of the mid-20th century is that the worst possible way to react to the emergence of multiracial societies is racial policies that aspire not just to forced resettlement, but to genocide. That seems to me like the single most obvious lesson of the 20th century. But the fact that there are people who want to go on their air and take Hitler's side in these debates, I find staggering. And it left me, honestly, Ben, with a feeling of failure. I spent a lot of my life making arguments about this, publishing books. And yeah, it's possible for somebody like Cooper to set himself up as a historian, having published nothing, having apparently spent no time in libraries or archives, and to pontificate in ways that are recognizably the arguments of the Nazis. I must have failed for this to be possible. At best, this should be some incredibly marginal contribution to public debate, which attracts only cranks, the kind of people who used to write letters in green ink. The fact that in 2024 something like this becomes a huge hit online is a terrible indictment of American education and the state of our culture today.
And, Neil, I also think that it's a reflection of the fact that all of politics these days, and probably always, is just highly reactionary. And that the response to the political left closing the Overton window so narrow that nobody could fit inside unless you agree with their very specific positions on the issues, the response to that was not to broaden the Overton window so as to allow broader and more robust discourse. It was to completely explode the Overton window and then treat all arguments as equally credible and as equally meritorious.
Right. In the end, there are serious debates to be had about World War II and about the rise of Hitler. I wish more of them were going on at Harvard and Yale and Columbia, and for that matter, Stanford. In truth, teaching of the Third Reich and the Holocaust and World War II does not go on any very large scale in American higher education today, much less in American high schools. And so part of what we see here is that there's an audience of people who really don't know terribly much about these issues, and they're very susceptible, therefore, to sensationalism, to claims that something terribly daring is being proposed. Obviously, part of what's going on here is forbidden fruit. The more censorious the left becomes, the more certain people are attracted to the transgressive ideas of the right. But I don't think this game would really work if people were just a bit better educated about what happened in the 1930s and 1940s. I think our knowledge of that history has decayed quite dramatically in the last 20 years. And that's part of the reason, not only that people are taken in by Darryl Cooper, it's also part of the reason why woke students on the left are taken in by Islamist propaganda, which completely misrepresents the history of Israel and essentially writes the Holocaust out of history.
Well, Neil Ferguson, I really appreciate the time, and I really appreciate the arguments that you're making, obviously. I think it is fair to call you the best and most honest historian working today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben. That's very kind of you.
All right, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. President Biden met with European partners in a whirlwind trip to Germany. SRN's Greg Clugston has the story.
The president spent the day Friday in Berlin for talks with the German chancellor, as well as the president of France and the British prime minister. They discussed the conflict in the Middle East and Russia's war in Ukraine. Mr. Biden urged Western allies to keep supporting the Ukrainians.
Also at townhall.com, a major small business advocate is blasting a plan from Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris to offer a $50,000 tax credit for new startup businesses. Correspondent Jeremy House reports.
The Job Creators Network says Harris's proposal is an insult to small business owners. Officials are questioning why benefits should be given to startups who may or may not use a delayed benefit. Meanwhile, they point out no benefit would be offered at all to the tens of millions of small business owners already serving their customers and communities. A recent poll by the Job Creators Network showed Harris trailing former President Donald Trump by 12 points among small business owners. Jeremy House reporting.
Kamala Harris kicking off a marathon day of campaign appearances in Michigan, highlighting how former President Donald Trump recently backed out of three sit-down interviews, citing exhaustion as the cause, something the former president patently denies.
Tell me when you've seen me take even a little bit of a risk. Not only am I not, I'm not even tired. I'm really exhilarated. You know why? We're killing her in the polls. Because the American people don't want her. She didn't pass her bar exam. She's not a smart person. She's not a person that should represent our country.
A fast-moving fire fed by strong winds burned two homes in a hillside neighborhood in Oakland, California, where roughly 500 people ordered to evacuate. Several other homes damaged by smoke and water. More at townhall.com.
What the instability of our economy after this election has many worried, and stocks and bonds could be the first to collapse. Countless Americans are turning to the safest store of wealth in human history to protect their retirement accounts. Physical precious metals. Gold has been a safe haven asset for generations. At Premier Gold, we specialize in helping those with a 401k, IRA, or other types of retirement accounts convert their vulnerable paper assets into physical gold to protect their hard-earned savings. Today, we'd like to send you a free gold election kit to help you decide if this is right for you. Call 606-800-8000 to claim yours. Act before the election to take advantage of the current rollover policies, allowing for a quick and seamless transfer into physical gold or silver. Don't let the outcome of this election influence the fate of your financial future. Call 606-800-8000 now. Premier Gold is not a financial advisor. Please consult with your advisor before investing. Call 606-800-8000.
Wall Street sets more records and closes the sixth straight winning week as stocks continue moving to record-breaking levels. Correspondent Seth Sutel files this report.
Stocks rose to more record highs on Wall Street, closing out their latest winning week. The S&P 500 climbed 0.4% Friday. The benchmark index edged past the all-time high it set earlier this week. It also marked its sixth weekly gain in a row. The Dow Jones Industrial Average inched up 36 points. That's about 0.1%. The Dow is also at another record high. The Nasdaq Composite rose 0.6%. Netflix helped drive the gains. The streaming video giant jumped a bit more than 11% after reporting a surge in profit for its latest quarter. Treasury yields eased a bit in the bond market. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note fell to 4.08%. Seth Sutel, New York.
Our thanks to special reporter Seth Sutel for that report. When you log on to townhall.com, you'll find breaking news, analysis, and more stories. That's townhall.com. Correspondent Jackie Quinn reports on another government investigation into Boeing's safety compliance.
The government announces it's continuing close oversight of Boeing, which intensified after a panel blew off an Alaska Air Jet mid-flight in January. The FAA says its review will examine key areas of safety procedures. Last week, the Transportation Department's Inspector General said there are weaknesses in FAA's oversight. The auditor said the FAA failed to ensure Boeing and its suppliers are meeting engineering and design requirements for more parts, and that it's failed to investigate claims Boeing's putting improper pressure on its safety inspectors. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Cuba's electrical grid went down after one of the island's major power plants failed, leaving millions without power. The failure Friday came a day after a massive blackout swept the Caribbean island. You'll find more at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Today, the Matt Walsh Show, Tim Walz is funding a program in Minnesota that brings children out into the woods to talk about sexuality. But don't worry, we're assured that there's nothing weird about it at all. Also, Donald Trump brutally roasts Kamala and the Democrats at the Al Smith dinner last night. A megachurch pastor has a very, shall we say, unhelpful message for Christians leading into the election. And a white dude for Harris tries his best to diagnose his party's problems with male voters. He gets so close to the answer, yet so far. All of that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. You know, there are a lot of ways you could measure the profound changes that have taken place in this country over the past century. You could talk about the civil rights movement, which pretty much everyone on the left does constantly all the time. You could talk about the growth of our GDP in the stock market. Or you could talk about our many technological advancements in aviation and spaceflight and computing and so on. Plenty of people talk about those achievements, too. What's less discussed are our views about nature and the environment. I'm not talking about the politics of man-made global warming, quote-unquote, or all the junk science behind it. I'm talking about our view of nature as a totally non-political concept. That has changed also, and not for the better. When he was president, Teddy Roosevelt doubled the number of national parks, made the Grand Canyon a national monument, established hundreds of millions of acres of protected public land. He became known as the conservation president because he inspired an entire generation to become outdoorsmen. And he didn't do any of these things to advance any kind of political agenda, really. He did it because a healthy society recognizes that nature is worth protecting and worth enjoying for its own sake. And both Democrats and Republicans respected that. Well, a little over a century later, we don't have politicians like Teddy Roosevelt anymore. In fact, the government is trying to erase his legacy to the extent possible. They've taken down his statues because he was supposedly a racist. And in the place of leaders like Teddy Roosevelt, we have now politicians like Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, who's now running to be the vice president of the United States. Tim Walz, unlike Teddy Roosevelt, and really he's unlike Teddy Roosevelt in every conceivable way, but also this, that he views nature as a means to a political end. Like so many other politicians, he sees the environment as just another part of the all-encompassing total state, as just another avenue to indoctrinate as many people as possible, particularly young people, into the most perverse and deranged excesses of left-wing ideology. Now, yesterday, my team and I broke the news about a particularly disturbing program that the state of Minnesota, under Tim Walz, recently funded. And here's how it works. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources operates something called the No Child Left Inside program. And the idea of No Child Left Inside, which has been around for more than a decade, is that young people shouldn't spend all of their time indoors. They should, get away from the screens and go out hiking and ice fishing and bird watching, et cetera, and learn something about nature. And as part of this program, the Minnesota government gives grants to organizations that promise to facilitate these kinds of outdoor excursions to get kids out into the great outdoors.
and off of the phones and TVs and everything. So far, so good. You know, I most of us would agree with that kids should be outside more often. And as skeptical as many of us are about government spending, hey, you know, having some programs to get kids outside, I think that's worth spending money on. The problem is that because politicians like Tim Walz believe that their ideology must be promoted everywhere and at all times, these No Child Left Inside grants aren't just going to organizations that facilitate hikes and birdwatching and fishing. Instead, they're going to organizations that want to get young children between the ages of 11 and 17 alone in the woods where adults who identify as trans can talk to them in private about topics like queerness and nature without their parents present, of course. Quoting from the Daily Wire, Spencer Lindquist, quote, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources gave $10,500 to Clean River Partners, which sponsors the Queer Unity Environmental Education and Recreation for Youth program, a.k.a. QUERY. Led by a woman named Heron, a self-described trans, non-binary naturalist, youth educator, and community engagement professional who uses they-them pronouns, the group convenes monthly to offer a safe space for young individuals to connect, learn outdoor skills, and explore the intersection of queerness and nature, an Instagram post advertising the program states. According to Heron, parents are asked to not attend the events, so participants have the chance to build their independence outdoors. For the record, here's a picture of Heron, the they-them who wants to spend some time alone in nature with children as young as 11 years old without their parents present. Now, some of the topics that Heron reportedly wants to chat about include examples of queerness in nature, which will supposedly make these children more comfortable with their identity, whatever that means exactly. And this is what Tim Walz's Minnesota is spending taxpayers' money on. Some of these examples of queerness in nature, by the way, include a female wood frog, sex-changing tadpoles, mushrooms with different sex types, and so on. And this relates to a familiar argument that trans activists often use, even though it's never made any sense, where they say, well, look at this species of plant or animal that changes sex. Therefore, transgenderism is valid. Well, there's an obvious difference between a tadpole that undergoes natural physical changes throughout its life and a human who, quote unquote, identifies as a different gender or who makes the voluntary decision to remove body parts. The tadpole is undergoing a natural process that alters its body. A human who cuts off body parts is not undergoing a natural process. It's like saying you can make a trans butterfly. Yes, a caterpillar can become a butterfly. That doesn't mean that we can paste wings on the caterpillar and make it into a butterfly whenever we want. And also, you know, the key difference here is that human beings are human. They are not caterpillars or tadpoles. And so it doesn't make any sense. Say, well, look, the tadpole can do it. That means I can. There are a lot of things tadpoles do that you can't do and shouldn't try to do. Now, obviously, anyone who says the opposite shouldn't be alone with 11-year-old children without parental supervision. But this trans-binary naturalist, quote-unquote, says there's no cause for alarm because there will be plenty of adult supervision on these excursions, which are an ongoing monthly thing. For example, there will also be a college student in attendance who serves on the board of a student-run drag organization, and this college student uses he-they pronouns and appears to be a female who's had her breasts removed. So, you know, rest easy, parents. Your child is in good hands at QUERY. Just send them off into the woods with these people. The Daily Wire reached out to this organization and the state of Minnesota to figure out exactly what's going on here. The organization's director claimed that, quote, parents aren't banned from attending the program, but it is meant to be a space for youth and it's designed as such. She added that the program is intended to promote a sense of safety and belonging in the outdoors for queer and questioning youth, with discussion topics including trail navigation, plant identification, and paddling skills. Okay, well, what exactly do trail navigation, plant identification, and paddling have to do with children who say that they're gay or quote-unquote non-binary? I mean, that's a question that definitely would have confused Teddy Roosevelt not too long ago. But to Tim Walz, it's not confusing. I mean, this is how grooming works. You surround confused children with gender ideology at all times. You tell them that everything in the world, even plant identification, relates back to their perceived sexuality. Now, for their part, the state of Minnesota gave us a predictably useless bureaucratic answer to our questions about this program. First, they told us that, quote, it is our understanding that parents can participate in the program,
So they just dodge the whole issue of whether parents are being pressured not to attend. And then the government spokesman told us that the Department of Natural Resources, quote, funded this project because it scored highly on a rubric-based assessment that took into account program-focused design, approach and evaluation, feasibility, and financial need and match. Now, whenever you hear terms like rubric-based assessment, you know that you've descended to the sixth circle of bureaucratic hell. I mean, you don't need a rubric to know that it's a terrible idea to have adults taking children out into the woods to talk to their, you know, without their parents about queerness. As a general rule, it is never a good sign when adults are trying to lure children into the woods to discuss sexuality. And you don't need any special rubric to know that. You just need common sense. But bureaucracy exists to provide plausible deniability when people disregard common sense in order to advance an agenda. It exists to provide cover for programs like Query. And when they're called out for what they're doing, they hide behind the rubric. That's the strategy that Tim Walz has decided upon. I could go through the many other examples of depraved programs that Tim Walz has either endorsed or overseen in Minnesota. There was his legislation removing the requirement that doctors provide life-saving care to children who survive abortions. We've already talked at length about his bill that requires high schools to put tampons in the boys' bathroom. Tim Walz's wife recently doubled down on that bill, by the way. She suggested that it was just common sense. Watch.
What else do we need in schools? And as we listened, people were having trouble accessing feminine products. And so Tim made those available in schools. I think that makes sense. I'm focused on learning. So is Tim. So is our legislature. And so we said, you know, if this is something that distracts from learning, well, then we're going to take care of that. Why wouldn't we? Because we're interested in students learning and not being distracted by other things.
Well, as we've seen time and time again, these people calling J.D. Vance weird was one of the most flagrant examples of projection in all of modern politics. They accuse you of exactly what they're guilty of. Any reasonable person can take one look at Tim Walz and come to that conclusion. You can read his policies. You can look at how he behaves at his rallies. It's actually striking how strange and just viscerally disturbing this guy is. Now, at the same time, within the Democratic Party, Tim Walz isn't weird at all by their standards. He embodies everything that the party stands for. And in particular, he stands for the idea that everything, even outdoor activities like trail navigation and plant identification, should be used as an opportunity to indoctrinate as many children as possible. This is an ideology that seeks to corrupt everything it touches. It's what Tim Walz has brought to the state of Minnesota. And even if you're not especially political, even if you don't care at all, you know, if you just care at all about preserving sane, non-political spaces in this country, well, that's reason enough to make sure that he never gets anywhere near the White House. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Do these three words make you cringe? Calcium oxalate stones. If so, then this message will be a huge relief, because now there's a kidney health supplement that has shown in laboratory tests to reduce the rate of calcium oxalate crystal growth by 99%. That's right, 99%. It's called KidneyCop, Calcium Oxalate Protector, and nothing else comes close to its success. In fact, it has a 100% satisfaction guarantee. KidneyCop is so innovative, it's been awarded 5 U.S. patents, is recommended by doctors and pharmacists, and is winning rave reviews from people all over the country. You can be one of them. KidneyCop is super affordable. You can purchase affordable KidneyCop today by visiting Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com. If you cringe when you hear the words calcium oxalate and you worry about reoccurrence, then you need KidneyCop right away. Purchase KidneyCop today at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com.
These statements have not been reviewed by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Sponsored by Calcium Oxalate Labs, Inc.
We'll be back with the Matt Walz Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Celebrate Thanksgiving at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us Thanksgiving Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holidays special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do.
This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395. License 109-0355.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tagger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go. And come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Five.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Megan Basham is an excellent reporter here at the Daily Wire. Posted this yesterday on her Twitter. Says, last week, Matt Chandler, megachurch pastor and head of the massive church planting network Acts 29, gave a sermon on politics. In it, he pushed the false narrative peddled by progressives that the only reason the GOP took up the issue of abortion was because they were losing elections, developed a strategy in the 70s to co-opt us and make Christians their people. He goes on to say, the GOP, no, we're easily manipulated. We're easily worked into a frenzy. We can be controlled by them. They don't all believe what we believe. This is a strategy. He does then call out, this is Megan Basham again, he does then call out the left for their pro-abortion policies, which he calls morally reprehensible, but the overall upshot of his sermon recycles the old both sides are bad shtick. He specifically stresses that he does not trust Trump. So this is a sermon from, you know, as you said, Matt Chandler is a very influential megachurch pastor, talking politics. Here we are, really, you know, just a couple of weeks before the election. Here's we'll play a quick clip of that sermon. Here it is.
In 1972, go read their charter. Not a single word about God or abortion in there. They were losing elections. They developed a strategy in the 70s to co-opt us and make us their people. They know we're easily manipulated. We are easily worked into a frenzy. We can be controlled by them. They can, and that's what they did. And they are not for us. They do not all believe what we believe. This is a strategy. So I feel used by them. When they talk about us and to us, I feel in my guts, like, get my name out of your mouth. You do not represent me.
Okay. So he's talking about the Republican Party there. And it is true that the Republican Party started focusing on abortion a lot more around 1972 or 1973, which is interesting because it's almost like something happened, some kind of major event occurred relating to the abortion issue. It's almost like, oh, yeah, well, Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973, was argued in 1972, decided in 1973.
That's what made it into the major political issue that it would become. So Chandler sees this as some kind of sinister conspiracy theory, but the reason that the Republican Party made opposition to Roe into a crucial part of its platform in 1973, and it wasn't part of the platform before that, is that Roe didn't exist before that. So that's why. Pretty simple. But putting that little technical point to the side, I will say this, more of a general comment, that as we get closer to the election, it's true that, you know, if you're a Christian, and we've heard this, I hear this from Christians all the time, that, well, the Republican Party doesn't own my vote. Yeah, absolutely, you're right. They don't own your vote. No political party does. It's true that the Republican Party has a lot of serious problems. It's true that Trump has problems. There are plenty of things about either and both the Republican Party and Trump that I don't agree with or that I wish were different. Mostly relating to me wishing that they were farther to the right on a lot of these kinds of issues. But we don't really have time to sit around pontificating about that sort of thing right now at this moment, like at this moment in time. This is not the time for it. Yeah, if you're a pro-life Christian, you don't owe your vote to the Republicans. It's not your vote is not a thing that they gave to you on loan or something and you have to return it to them. But you are morally obligated to vote against a party that endorses, funds, and facilitates the slaughter of the unborn. We are morally obliged to oppose that with all our might. Now, there are plenty of other reasons to oppose the Democrat Party, but you don't really need any additional reasons on top of this. The Democrat Party endorses, funds, facilitates, and celebrates the mass slaughter of the unborn. I mean, it's that simple. Now, the Republican Party is largely too moderate on this issue for my taste. I'd like for them to be a lot more hardcore about their pro-life principles, but there really is no comparison between the two. Republicans, at a minimum, we can say that the Republican Party, Donald Trump, do not wish to actively increase the number of abortions that are performed. I mean, that's a pretty low bar, but like at a minimum, we could say that. Whereas the Democrat side of it, that is what they want to do. They want more of this thing. They want to create more of it. And those become the choices. I mean, it's like choosing between, you know, if the Republican Party is serving you a meal that isn't as nutritious as it should be, isn't as filling, isn't as healthy and substantive as you want it to be. But then on the other hand, the Democrats are serving you literal poison, you know, and you could choose between the two plates or you could have nothing and you could starve. Like, that's the other thing. Starvation is also an option. Starvation and poison will have the same effect, though, ultimately. Not the best analogy, I'll admit, but it's still the point is, as Christians, as pro-lifers, and especially if you're a pastor leading a flock, like, this is not a time for the both sides routine and all of that. And when we talk about this, I also have to constantly remind everyone, and it shouldn't be the thing we have to remind people, especially Christians and pro-lifers, because this should be ever present in our mind, but it's not. So people do need to be reminded that Kamala Harris, it's not just that she wants to kill more babies, though she does. This administration is right now, as we speak, actively waging war on the pro-life movement. They are putting pro-lifers in prison, in federal prison for years. That is happening right now. It's been happening. They're currently doing it. I'm not warning you that it will happen in the future. This is some sort of hypothetical future scenario that we should be concerned about. It's like, no, it's happening right now. And Kamala Harris not only is involved in that with this administration, but this is what she did when she was Attorney General of California. When she talks about how she was putting bad guys in prison in when she was in California, what she forgets to mention is that for her, the bad guys were like pro-life activists and journalists who were exposing criminal activity in Planned Parenthood, at Planned Parenthood. So if she is elected, or if she ends up president, whether she's elected or not, this legal warfare against pro-lifers will only be ramped up. I mean, we've only just seen the tip of the iceberg. Is there a both sides thing there? Like, is anyone going to really tell, like, you think Trump's going to do that? Are we worried about, but Trump will be just as bad. Really? You think Trump's going to send his DOJ after pro-lifers and throw him in jail? Like, does anyone think that's going to happen?
Of course not. So that's another. I mean, that also is, there are so many other reasons to vote against her, to actively oppose her, and to stop with the both sides thing. But that's another reason that even on its own, even that all by itself, should be enough. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Discover Mosaic Restaurant, where every experience is memorable and every meal is a masterpiece. Join us for breakfast, lunch, dinner, happy hour, and weekend brunch in our indoor dining room, bar, and outdoor patios. Enjoy Mosaic handcrafted cocktails, fine wines, craft beers, stone oven pizza, and locally sourced specials. Conveniently located next to the Sheraton Reading Hotel, just steps from Turtle Bay Museum, Sundial Bridge, and beautiful garden. Turtle Bay members enjoy a 10% discount year-round. For menus and reservations, visit mosaicreading.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Celebrate Thanksgiving at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy homestyle turkey, slow roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us Thanksgiving Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holidays special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Now, this-
This is Carl Bott.
And Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Five.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. All right, New York Post has this. President Biden griped to former President Barack Obama that, quote, she is, quote, not as strong as me, with Obama agreeing. That's true. In a stunning off-mic conversation deciphered for the Post by a professional lip reader. The apparent candid assessment of Vice President Kamala Harris's standing going into the November 5th election occurred Wednesday afternoon as America's two most recent Democratic presidents conversed at Ethel Kennedy's memorial service in Washington. Biden said, according to the translation, she's not as strong as me, which was and the translation was produced by analyzing the on-video lip movements during the discussion. Biden said, Obama said, I know that's true. We have time. We'll get it in time. Moments earlier, Obama said it's important that we have some time together, in a possible reference to campaigning alongside Harris. The dialogue was translated for the Post by Jeremy Freeman, a London-based forensic lip reader who was born deaf and for 16 years has served as a University College London certified expert witness for litigants, the police, and journalists. Okay. So that's what the lip readers say was going on in this clip. And we could play the clip for you, but if you're listening in audio, you know, there's no audio, so you wouldn't be able to hear it. Now, you have to ask yourself, do you think they didn't know that this conversation that they had would get out and that people would know what they were talking about? I mean, they're having it in full view of news cameras. Now, maybe they didn't realize that the New York Post would go out and hire a forensic lip reader to translate what they said, which is hilarious. But still, like, you're having this conversation about this subject in full view of cameras. I don't think it comes as a shock to them that the content of that conversation is getting out. But the second thing is, you know, assuming that this is what they were actually saying, and that Biden did say, you know, I'm a stronger candidate than she is. I think that Biden's actually right about that. As it turns out that Biden was right all along, I think. He is the better candidate. He is the stronger candidate. Now, yeah, he's senile and totally ineffectual and incapacitated, and he's been a horrible president. And all of that is true. But he's probably the stronger candidate, actually, on second thought. Kamala got a nice boost for a few weeks when she entered the race because it was something different. Not that different, it turns out. Not really different at all, but she got a nice boost. But now she's really doing no better than Biden would have been doing probably at this point, and maybe doing worse, which again is not a statement about Biden's strengths, but rather about Kamala's profound weaknesses. So, yeah, you know, and a lot of us, even on the right, a lot of conservatives, we said, I know I said that, hey, they got to get rid of Biden. They're going to have to. They have no choice. Like, they can't. There's no way. They're going to lose if they try to go to November with him. And anybody would be better than him. That's what a lot of us, even conservatives, were saying. And if all that commentary from conservatives at all had any influence on the decision makers in the Democrat Party who decided to push Biden out, well, you know, hey, sorry guys, I think we, oops, sorry about that. I think you had it right the first time, turns out. We didn't mean to mislead you in any way. But you're stuck with her now. You can't switch back. That would be great if they tried to switch back. That would be the funniest thing that's ever happened in human history if they tried to switch back. But they can't. So they are stuck with her. And I think that the problem for the Democrats is that they went with a half measure. You know, there's that famous monologue from Breaking Bad, where Mike Ehrmantraut, Gus's, the henchman of the bad guy, gives this speech to Walter White where he talks about no more half measures. And I think if I'm remembering the monologue correctly, he talks about a time when there was a guy that was beating up, when he was a cop, and there was a guy that was beating up his wife, and he kind of took the guy aside and maybe beat him up a little bit and said, don't do that to your wife anymore. And the next thing you know, he kills his wife. And so Mike's takeaway is that, well, we should have just taken that guy out. We did a half measure and we needed to do a full measure. So, you know, that's the problem for the Democrats is that they went with a half measure instead of a full measure, because the full measure would have been, once you kick out Biden and you kick him to the curb, to kick out Kamala along with him. And they didn't want to do that because they were worried about the politics of it. They were worried about what it would look like to prevent this, a black woman from becoming the first female president and all the rest of it. So even though they knew better, I mean, the reports told us early on that Obama, who according to the reports was behind this coup against Biden, that he knew that Kamala was a really weak candidate, probably worse than Biden. So he wanted it to go to an open convention, which would have been unprecedented. That would have been like a crazy thing. It hasn't happened in modern history, and that would have been probably chaos. But you're already doing an unprecedented, crazy, historic thing, so you might as well just go the whole way, do the full measure. And the coup should be against both of them, and you go and you find somebody else, someone else entirely, because this is what it turned. It turned out that Biden, very weak candidate, terrible candidate, for all the reasons that we all know. But it's not that anyone would be better than him. Almost anyone would be better for the Democrats than Biden. Kamala was one of the few who actually would not be better than Biden. And that so of all the potential options, there's like millions of other people that would have, just because they're someone else, like really anyone who was not in the administration would have been probably a better choice than Biden. And so that leaves up really potentially millions of options of who they could have chosen. And they went with one of the few who was not better. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Do these three words make you cringe? Calcium oxalate stones. If so, then this message will be a huge relief, because now there's a kidney health supplement that has shown in laboratory tests to reduce the rate of calcium oxalate crystal growth by 99%. That's right, 99%. It's called KidneyCop, Calcium Oxalate Protector, and nothing else comes close to its success. In fact, it has a 100% satisfaction guarantee. KidneyCop is so innovative, it's been awarded 5 U.S. patents, is recommended by doctors and pharmacists, and is winning rave reviews from people all over the country. You can be one of them. KidneyCop is super affordable. You can purchase affordable KidneyCop today by visiting Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com. If you cringe when you hear the words calcium oxalate and you worry about reoccurrence, then you need KidneyCop right away. Purchase KidneyCop today at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com.
These statements have not been reviewed by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Sponsored by Calcium Oxalate Labs, Inc.
We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals. And the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders invites you to a free special community event Saturday, October 19th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This free event is open to the public and will feature on-site health screening, multicultural music, dancing, martial arts, and Native American practices. Free booth spaces are still available. Free international foods will also be featured, including Punjabi Indian food, Indonesian food, African food, American Mediterranean food, pizza, and even ice cream. Interact with speakers and learn more about health equity and climate resilience. Plus, there will be kids activities too. This event is co-sponsored by Shasta Interfaith, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. For more information, call 530-440-2626 or 530-339-0530. Don't miss this special event Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive, just off of Deschutes Road in Anderson.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tagger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. We spent a fair amount of time on the show recently talking about the Democrat Party's struggles with men, especially white men. I've made my point pretty clear on that topic. But now we have something that proves my point so profoundly that I have no choice but to revisit the subject. Mike Nellis is a former advisor to Kamala Harris, one of the founders of the White Dudes for Harris organization. And on Twitter this week, Mike posted a lengthy analysis and attempted diagnosis of the Democrat Party's man problem. His analysis and the comments in response to it really tell you everything you need to know, but not in the way that they intended. Now, Mike Nellis' post is long. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll read a sizable chunk of it just so you get a sense of where he's going with this. So this is what he says. Quote, I've seen a lot of questions about why white men, especially young white men, seem so angry, distrustful of the Democrat Party or drawn to MAGAism. I've been studying this issue for a while now, and I wanted to share some thoughts. If we don't want to make inroads with white dudes, we need to understand what's happening. First, economic opportunities are shrinking. Young men are struggling with stagnant jobs, stagnant wages, fewer job prospects, making it harder for them to gain independence, start families, or even feel secure in adulthood. That instability makes many susceptible to the MAGA whirlpool. Second, there's a major education gap. Fewer men are graduating from college compared to women, which has serious consequences for their long-term economic and social stability. Kamala Harris is doing well with educated white men, but not with those who didn't finish college. Third, we're facing a mental health and social isolation crisis. Young men are lonelier and struggling with mental health issues at higher rates, partly fueled by social media and the erosion of traditional community institutions. Fourth, there's an identity crisis. Gender roles and societal expectations are shifting, which is a good thing, he says. And young men are left wondering where they fit in. Without positive role models, many gravitate toward toxic figures like Donald Trump because at least someone's speaking to their frustrations, however inartfully. Fifth, forming relationships, especially romantic ones, has become harder. Lastly, there's a deep cynicism and lack of trust in institutions. Many young men no longer believe the American dream is for them or that they have a place in society that's rapidly changing. We can't keep acting like white men don't have real issues. Everyone is suffering from something, and everyone deserves to have that suffering addressed by their government. Okay, now, he goes into detail on all of those points, but that's the summary. And he isn't necessarily fundamentally wrong about any of the individual points that he raises. Yes, it's true. I mean, he's wrong about a lot of what you heard there, but like the initial point, the initial bullet point item, there's truth there. So it's true that men are struggling in this economy. It's true that there's an education gap. It's true that men suffer from loneliness and social isolation. All of that is true. But he's missing a couple of key components. First of all, and most importantly, the why. Okay, so this white dude for Harris is in better shape than most of his leftist counterparts because at least he notices and is willing to acknowledge the hardships that men face. His analysis of the situation seems to go a few steps beyond simply declaring that all men are scum who should be violently eradicated from Earth. And for that reason alone, he already qualifies as the wisest and most insightful Democrat in the country. He's basically Thomas Aquinas by modern Democratic standards, and yet still, he isn't even close to the point because he doesn't know why any of this is happening. There isn't much use in noticing a problem if you don't know why that problem is occurring. If you're driving along and you hear your engine clanging like a church bell, the next step is to take it to a mechanic and to find out why it's making that sound. If you never take the next step, if you never get the problem correctly diagnosed, then you'll be just as screwed as someone who was blissfully unaware of the problem to begin with. So yes, there is an education gap. Women are doing better than men in the education system. Why? Well, because the modern education system is built for girls. It is a system that, from the youngest ages, requires kids to sit calmly at desks for hours a day in classes with dozens of other kids, memorize information, and regurgitate it. This is an environment and a style of education that is better suited for girls, which is why boys are more likely to be diagnosed as mentally disordered and slapped with the ADHD label or some other label and sort of drugged into submission. It's true that men are increasingly socially isolated. Why? Well, because every all-male space in society has been abolished or feminized, which is the same thing as abolishing it. You know, women demanded to be included in everything, in every space, in every boys' club, which means that now there are no more boys' clubs. Even the Boy Scouts is not a boys' club anymore. Even the NFL increasingly caters to women. When you watch football on Sundays, I mean, this is a relatively small example, it's not just that they're cutting Taylor Swift constantly when you're watching it and they're doing, but like every commercial that you watch on TV where they're portraying football fans, it's all, they have women, it's like, you know, it's a commercial for whatever and for the chips or something. And they want to show like your classic football fan. And it's a middle-aged white woman, you know, sitting on the couch, eating the chips and watching the game. And it's like, this is not, yes, there are middle-aged white women who sit on the couch and watch games, but still, this is not actually your classic, that's not really your audience. But they're insisting on it. Like, they want to feminize everything. There is nowhere for men to go anymore for fraternity and male bonding. Those places have all been, all of them have been systematically and deliberately eliminated. Because, in particular, liberal women have said, we want to be involved in everything. We have to be involved in everything. We will not butt out of anything at all. Everything is about us all the time. Okay? That's what happened. It's true that many men are feeling demoralized and angry. Why is that? Well, because our culture intentionally demoralizes them and alienates them and demonizes them. White men, in particular, have been labeled the villains of history. No group appreciates being scapegoated as the bad guys. White men have tolerated it about as much as you could expect anyone to tolerate it. We've tolerated it far too much, in fact, for far too long. If anything, the real mystery isn't why so few white men vote Democrat, but why any white men would vote Democrat at all. Now, Mike misses these points, and he misses something else, too. He's trying to explain why men tend to vote Republican, but never once in his long essay does he ever mention or even consider the possibility that men vote Republican because they happen to agree with the Republican platform, or at least they agree with it more than they agree with the Democrat platform. All of the stuff about men struggling and being demoralized is true, but that's not the primary reason why men vote Democrat. The primary reason is that most men just don't agree with Democrat policies. Now, Mike treats us like we're all a bunch of wayward, lost souls who are hurting and angry and just need someone to give us a hug. Now, that's maybe an improvement over the way the Democrats usually talk about us. Maybe an improvement, but I'm not even sure about that. But it's still not true. I don't want a hug from anyone but my wife and kids. I certainly don't want one from a white dude for Harris. As a man, I support Trump because I agree much more with Trump than I do with Kamala Harris. In fact, I disagree with Kamala Harris on literally every point about literally everything. So do most men. That's why we won't vote for her. Men, especially white men, but not only white men, tend to value national sovereignty, law and order, economic freedom, and so on. The Democrat Party stands against all those things, so we don't support them. We aren't lost and confused. Quite the contrary. We know exactly what we believe, and we vote for what we believe. So take me, for example. I'm a man. I support Trump. And yet, I don't personally feel isolated or lonely, even though many men do. But I'm blessed because I have a wife and kids and a family that I love, and so I don't have that. I'm not walking around depressed and all that. I didn't go to college, so I guess I technically do count towards the education gap statistic. But I'm also more financially successful than the vast majority of college grads. So so I don't even necessarily fit into all that stuff. And yet, I'm not going to vote for Kamala. Why? Well, because I have a brain and I have a value system, and both of those things preclude me voting for Kamala. That's why. And this possibility just like doesn't factor in to Mike's analysis at all. And yet his analysis is still the closest to the point that you'll ever see anyone on the left get, which shows just how far away from the point they really are. Case in point, the comments under Mike's post, mostly from his fellow liberals, largely disagree with his points, but not for the reasons that I've outlined, but because he's being too sympathetic to white men. So here's one representative example. This is from a woman named Melissa. Here's what she says. I must admit, I cringed reading most of this. I feel that one thing you didn't address is the systemic entitlement bestowed upon white men in the U.S. That sense of entitlement, that privilege that they felt for eternity, is eroding. And they don't know how to deal with their feelings, which takes us to your point about mental health. Additionally, these issues have plagued men of every race except white men in the U.S. for eternity. I agree that we need to stop ignoring the issues and find ways to face it and attempt to repair it. Unfortunately, I don't know that sending people that MAGA already hates to do Fox interviews is really going to sway the needle on absolutely anything. Okay. So Mike wants to know why Democrats are losing the male vote. Well, here it is. Melissa is why. I mean, not her specifically, but her worldview and everything that it represents. I mean, that's why. She cannot bear to have someone on her own side, even in one Twitter post, just briefly, for a few paragraphs, show anything but contempt for white men. An expression of something other than contempt for white men makes her cringe. Empathy towards this whole group of people makes her cringe. She's sickened by it. Okay? And she represents the majority view on her side. Certainly she represents the majority view of the Democratic base, which increasingly consists of bitter feminists and nobody else. That's the problem that Mike is trying to grapple with, but he can't actually grapple with it. He can't grapple with it because, like, what he needs to say is to the feminists like Melissa, like, pipe down, okay? But just will you just cut it out for 5 seconds so we can try to win some votes over here? That's what he needs to say to the Melissas of his party, But he can't. He cannot say that. He'll never say it. You can't tell the feminists to pipe down in the Democrat Party because they are the Democrat Party. And Mike can't see that. Or if he does, he can't say it. So he's close to the point, but a million miles away from it at the same time. And that is why he is ultimately still today, I must say, canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Hamas has confirmed that its leader, Yahya Sinwar, was killed by Israeli forces in Gaza, and it reiterated its stance that hostages the militant group took from Israel a year ago will not be released until there is a ceasefire in Gaza and a withdrawal of Israeli troops. White House National Security spokesman John Kirby says the Biden administration believes now is the time to restart peace talks that stalled 3 weeks ago.
I don't want to speculate, but I suspect that if and when we can get those talks back in place, the starting point will be where we left it. Where that goes, I just don't know. We're not in a position right now where serious negotiations are in the offing.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says several nations will have to take part in an effort to stabilize Gaza after the war ends.
Hopefully countries in the region will step up. There quite possibly can be a part for the United States to play in that as well. What part that would be and what that would look like, Chris, we're going to have to work with our allies and partners to scope that out.
Also at townhall.com, an Alabama man has been arrested for his alleged role in the January hack of a U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission social media account that led to the price of Bitcoin to spike.
The Justice Department says Eric Counsel Jr. is accused of helping to break into the SEC's account on X, formerly known as Twitter. The break-in allowed hackers to prematurely announce the approval of long-awaited Bitcoin exchange-traded funds. The price of Bitcoin briefly spiked more than $1,000 after the post.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. A large group of illegal immigrants spotted in Texas near the southern border Thursday. Captured drone footage shows 134 migrants in Maverick County. More at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
You see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE.
Is Tesla's self-driving system more dangerous when the road is hard to see? We find out from correspondent Jennifer King, who reports the government plans to find out.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is investigating Tesla's full self-driving system after multiple crashes in low visibility conditions. The probe could affect 2.4 million vehicles from 2016 onward. Government documents say the agency opened the investigation on Thursday after the company reported four crashes. In one, a pedestrian was killed. Sun glare, fog, and airborne dust can obscure details on the road. Investigators are looking into the system's ability to detect and respond appropriately and contributing circumstances, like weather updates affected the system's performance. Tesla has had to recall the system before, in part because it was disobeying stop signs and traffic laws. Jennifer King, Washington.
You'll find breaking news and analysis and more stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Journalism funders are committing $20 million in grants to 205 small local news outlets. Here's John Scott.
Press Forward says that's double what it had intended to give out. Newly funded groups include Black Iowa News, an outlet that began during the COVID era to deliver news about the pandemic. Another is the Nome Nugget, a newspaper that covers a wide swath of western Alaska. Most of the news organizations will get roughly $100,000 in general operating funds. Press Forward says it doubled its planned funding after being overwhelmed with applicants. John Scott reporting.
The state and national Republican parties are appealing a judge's ruling that said seven election rules recently passed by Georgia's state election board are illegal, unconstitutional, and void. The Republicans want to overturn a ruling from Fulton County Superior Judge Thomas Cox. You'll find more on these stories and more news at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Open now through December 31st at Turtle Bay Museum. Alphonse Mucha, Master of Art Nouveau. Step back to the turn of the 20th century and learn about the many forms of Art Nouveau. Explore the broad range of works by Czechoslovakian artist Alphonse Mucha and immerse yourself in timeless art. Presented by the J&D Jaramonti Family Fund. Alphonse Mucha, Master of Art Nouveau. Open now at Turtle Bay. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
The Reading Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, the craft of fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Discover Mosaic Restaurant, where every experience is memorable and every meal is a masterpiece. Join us for breakfast, lunch, dinner, happy hour, and weekend brunch in our indoor dining room, bar, and outdoor patios. Enjoy mosaic handcrafted cocktails, fine wines, craft beers,
stone oven pizza, and locally sourced specials. Conveniently located next to the Sheraton Reading Hotel, just steps from Turtle Bay Museum, Sundial Bridge, and beautiful garden. Turtle Bay members enjoy a 10% discount year-round. For menus and reservations, visit mosaicreading.com.
And flew into Chicago, and it was all very nice. There's a big moon in the sky. You see this giant moon, and it was beautiful driving into the city last night, too. We landed at Chicago's O'Hare Airport, and then the people at United Airlines decided to take everyone hostage. We were on the ground for so long, just driving around. And I said, well, there might be a gate over here. Eventually, I felt sorry for the captain, for the pilot of the airplane, eventually. And But for a while, you know, I wasn't feeling so good myself because we were trapped in the airplane. We were trapped looking for a gate for almost as long as we were in the air flying because, you know, and it might be a union thing. I'm not 100% sure. They never explained, except it didn't work very well. It was a hostage situation, though. It was pretty crazy. I want to talk a little more about that later because it was something. Hey, welcome to Chicago. Now, eventually, we'll let you off the plane, but you know how that goes. It's the pleasures and joys of air travel. But it's not all about me, is it? And we're in Chicago. My best girl and I were in Chicago doing a big politics and a pint event tonight just outside of the city of Chicago with great Americans because there are plenty of great Americans around here. It's the heartland. It's the heartland of America. And forget about the Venezuelan gangs for just a moment because the city's looking beautiful. It really is. It's looking great. And Lake Michigan is wonderful. But again, I digress by the shiny object in front of me distracting me. Never mind that. The big Al Smith dinner in New York City, it's an annual event. It's a white tie event, not a black tie tuxedo event, but white tie and tails. You don't have a lot of those events anymore. Well, you never really did have a lot of them. Even when they had more of them, they didn't have a lot of them. But white tie and tails in New York City, Al Smith, and it's a Catholic thing, and it's a charity fundraiser. And the traditionally, when you have it in an election year, the both presidential candidates show up. It's tradition. It's been going on forever and ever. But Kamala, she didn't show up because why would she? Honestly, there were a lot of you know, Democrats in the room, not just the Lizard King. There were other Democrats too. And the media people, they've got Kamala's back. They sent an unfunny video. It's supposed to be funny. And, you know, even Hillary Clinton showed up. 2016, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were there, and, you know, and it's a good thing. And President Trump, they're supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be good-natured and a little bit of friendly, you know, ribbing. That's what they call it. I'm going like this with my finger. Ribbing back and forth. And normally, traditionally, historically, both presidential candidates show up and they do funny bits from the podium in their fancy duds with the, you know, the men wear white tie and tails. And honestly, Kamala could have shown up in men's clothing, too, because with today's Democrat Party, what's the difference? Honestly, and she could have shown up in white tie and tails. It would have been cute. It would have been funny. But she's not funny. And let's face it, she's not cutesy. So never mind that. But we've got a bunch of audio to share with you from the dinner last night. Jim Gaffigan is a comedian. He's a professional comedian, and he was there. They always hire a comedian, and then the candidates and other people stand up and take the podium, and they do funny bits. They do funny bits for a little while. And President Trump succeeded in doing that last night, and you know who, Kamala Harris, she did not. She failed once again. She failed. However, she doesn't have to do anything because the media does everything for her. That's when you're a Democrat, you know, all you have to do is not crash your car off a bridge in Chappaquiddick and leave a woman to die there while you go to brunch, and everything will be fine because the media does your work for you. Here's one headline. Kamala Harris Fox News interview draws big ratings, trounces Trump town hall. See, that's Trump's town hall. He was doing a town hall with Univision, right? And pretty amazing stuff. And that's the media doing the Democrat Party's work for them, the gang of bootlicks that they are. And the Washington Post has the headline, Harris ought to send Brett Baer flowers for that Fox News interview. Fox News ought to send flowers. It's why, did somebody die? It's pretty amazing stuff. But they're suggesting that people send flowers after a nice date or something. Is that what they're, because, you know, the Democrats. And it's not true. Kamala did terribly in the Bret Baier interview, and Bret Baier did just fine. But the corrupt media, an incredibly corrupt media, they just turned everything upside down, completely upside down, because that's their role in our society, to be corrupt. And yeah, Eugene Robinson at the Washington Post, who's a very corrupt individual, personally, individually corrupt person. Amazing. Harris's combative interview with the Fox News anchor displayed her qualities and facts. That's what the Washington Post said. There were no facts gleaned. She didn't reveal anything about what she's going to do about anything. So Eugene Robinson is at it again, lying and lying and misrepresenting. This is misinformation. If Hillary Clinton had her way, he might be up on charges at this point. Not just civil charges, but criminal charges as well. Because that's what Hillary wants. And the Washington Post, they just loved it. Should send flowers. You don't bring me flowers. And the people at, it's Mediaite, but you know, their Fox News interview draws big ratings, trounces Trump town hall. I'm not sure really that was the thing there, but never mind that. And also Kamala's people, they sent a video, Joe made passing reference to, I believe. They sent a video, and Kamala appeared in the video, and she's supposed to be charming or something, but she wasn't. And they got this woman who used to be on Saturday Night Live a long time ago. Her name is Molly Shannon. Does anybody remember Molly Shannon? Raise your hand. She used to put her fingers in her armpits and then smell them. That was her big joke, Saturday Night Live. That's what she did the whole time. And that was pretty much it, I got to say. But they had this, and when did she leave? I think 20 years ago she left, maybe more than 20 years ago. She left Saturday Night Live, but she made a big comeback last night at the Al Smith dinner in New York. Not in person, but in a video that the Kamala Harris people put together. And it was not funny, and it was not clever, and it was kind of sad, actually. It really was. Pretty extraordinary stuff. So we've got a bit of everything for you on that front. But that's not all that's going on, because it's also International Pronouns Day. It's International Pronouns Day. Colon. Here's the Pride and Donuts. Pride and Donuts. They really need to get over their sexuality. I think it would be nice for everyone, especially them, perhaps, if they got over their sexuality. But, where is this? At the American University in Washington, D.C. Join the Center for Diversity and Inclusion, which then they have to put in parentheses, CDI, even though it's just amazing, CDI, everything has to be abbreviated, to celebrate International Pronoun Day. My pronouns are sir and master, and that's about it. We will have pronoun pins, games, and CDI giveaways. They love giveaways, don't they? They love other people's stuff. To honor the day, this is what they're doing. They're going to give away pins, their pronoun pins, and they've got all this going on because they love pronouns. They don't know what pronouns are, but they love them. They want to have a lot of them, whatever they are. Pretty amazing stuff. It's International Pronouns Day, and the Democrats are celebrating pronouns. They don't know what gender is because of all the mental issues that they have, a great many mental issues. Extraordinary stuff.
My pronouns are she, her, and hers.
She, her, and hers. Mine, too.
All right.
Mine, too. That's, that was Fredo. That was old Fredo Cuomo there. Mine, too, is pronouns she, her, and hers. Really remarkable stuff. We remain, even though I'm in Chicago, we remain at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is the telephone number here. Very convenient for anyone to use. Absolutely free. It's toll-free. Remember toll-free numbers? Now, I think because of the patriarchy, all numbers are toll-free, aren't they? You're welcome, honestly. Let's see what else we're going to do for you before the end of the day. Pretty amazing stuff. But if I were in Washington, I might have to go over to the American University. I might have to go over to American University, not far from the mothership radio station in Washington, D.C., just to see how pronouns... But there's donuts, too, because, you know, some of them want their pronoun to be chubby. Hey, chubby, it's when did that happen? Oh, you know, I went to Pronouns and Donuts Day, and a week later, look at me now, American University. Pronouns and Donuts. because you got to have free stuff, a lot of free stuff. Yes, sir. So we've got that gun for you, but that's not all. We've got a lot more too, because the Democrats are still on the loose. And you know what that means, that there's a lot of crazy going on. And I do want to share with you stories about my best girl and I flying into Chicago yesterday, being trapped on the airplane for an hour before they'd let us go to a gate. And then we had a man drive us in. We didn't arrange it ahead of time. We went out in front of the airport and found someone to drive us into the city. And his name is Mohammed. Mohammed drove us into the city. And he had a few things to say. We had a nice back and forth. We were going back and forth and back and forth and lots of stuff with Mohammed. It was kind of fun, kind of amusing. I learned a thing or two, no doubt about it. But I've got a lot of stories for you, because there are a lot of news stories flying around that the Democrats have unleashed on all of us. They're really not on our side. Why did Kamala skip the Al Smith dinner? Why would she do that? Honestly, and why there was booing at the Al Smith dinner, which doesn't happen very often. But there was booing, and the comedian Jim Gaffigan, it's not like he's a Trump supporter. He had a couple of funny jokes about being there with, at the Trump, it wasn't the Trump dinner, but at the Al Smith dinner with Trump, there were some funny things there. Elon Musk is on the loose, and he's supporting President Trump. Mark Cuban is a left-wing radical extremist billionaire. He's a billionaire. He should be deported back to Cuba. Maybe they could use his help, because he's got some ideas of his own. Remarkable things going on there. We're coming up on Election Day, because, tick, 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 it's getting closer and closer. Got news out of Florida and Ron DeSantis for you. Lots and lots of news, and we continue to be at 888-630-9625.
That's it. Hold it right there. Pronoun trouble.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
America's strength isn't just built, it's worn. For those who put in the hours to get things done, G-Defy shoes are made right for you. With patented VersaShock technology, G-Defy doesn't just talk comfort, they engineer it. With every step you take, G-Defy shoes help absorb harmful shock and provide you with trampoline-like energy return. Now, G-Defy sent me a pair of their excellent shoes, and they sent a pair for my best girl, too. And we've hiked all over the city in them, and everything they say about them is 100% true. I'm not going to fib. They really are great shoes. You hike all over the city, you stand all day, and your feet feel great. Designed for hard workers, parents, and those who stand tall no matter what. Go to G-Defy.com and use the code Chris for $20 off orders over $100. That's code Chris for $20 off over $100. Because even champions need to rest. Go to G-Defy.com today.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to RoundhouseProvisions.com, use code COMBO, or text COMBO to 511-511 and claim 40% off. RoundhouseProvisions.com, code COMBO.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text COMBO to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE, 855-51-BIBLE.
Do you have a special needs child or an older adult in your home? The risk of them leaving the house unnoticed is real and terrifying. But you can protect your loved ones with Vivint Home Security.
Alarm on.
Our child has autism. He doesn't usually elope, but one day he did, and it was the most terrifying moment of our lives.
If I didn't have a home security system, I would have realized way too late he's gone.
Right now, Vivint is offering a free doorbell camera with any new plan, plus free installation and low monthly monitoring plans. Smart locks, lights, cameras, and more makes Vivint Home Security the smartest way to protect your family and prevent a tragedy. Vivint is the number one smart home service provider in the U.S. Protection is just a phone call away. Call 800-953-6693. That's 800-953-6693. Monthly service agreement required for free installation.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Coming to you live from the studios of WLS in Chicago. I sound like I was up all night or something. I wasn't. Well, I was up till 1 a.m. Well, actually, at 1:30 Eastern time, because I was up till 12 midnight 30 here. And my best girl and I, when we finally got home from the airport, we did go find a place, get a little something to eat, and you know, had a couple of beers and stayed up kind of late. But that's okay. I feel good. Everything's good, and I got an event tonight at the place. But enough about me. Let's go to the telephones. Let's talk to Jerry, calling from, the Maryland-Pennsylvania border, the border of Pennsylvania and Maryland, on the Pennsylvania side, I believe. Geraldo, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Now, Chris, you can't walk around calling people chubby, because if you do that, they're going to have to get psychological help, and you'll get a lawsuit. So that's the first thing. You can't do that.
Probably
you know
true.
How these people are.
Yeah, that's the donut at pronouns and donuts. The donuts and pronouns fest.
Well, they can do. They know what they can do with their pronouns. But the reason I'm calling Chris is they say that President Trump continues to call the country the enemy from within. Well, what would you call a bunch of people who had two phony impeachments, who have the media running around spreading lie after lie? You have a president who's not even there. He can't even talk. You got a vice president who's accomplished absolutely nothing and can't keep his name out of her mouth. You watch the Brett Baer interview, and you got people like that windbag Claire McCaskill. Well, she did a wonderful job. She didn't answer a single question. The only thing she could ever say is Trump, Trump, Trump. And here's my other problem, Chris. One other thing drives me up the wall. These people in Pennsylvania, Maryland are running these commercials, running around lying. Every political ad the Democrats have run is a lie. They took my abortion rights. I can't get an abortion anymore. Chris, there's it's not illegal to get an abortion in Pennsylvania or Maryland or Massachusetts or any of these other states. As a matter of fact, The great one, Mark Levin, had a thing out saying that there's been more abortions since Roe versus Wade was overturned. How can this race be close, and how can these people get away with lie after lie after lie? It boggles the brain. And you've got these young people out here who will vote for her. I don't get it.
Yeah, but you're writing everything you said, of course. And, how do they get away with it is information dominance that I've been talking about for a long time, which is a military concept, an intelligence concept, and they have secured information dominance in the United States. And they know that a lie told once remains a lie. A lie told 1,000 times becomes the truth. That's a Joseph Goebbels line, and the Democrat Party has adopted it. There's no doubt about it. And yeah, of course, Mark Levin is 100% correct. They overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022 in the Supreme Court because it was always based on a bad law, on a bad case. And, you know, I've known since college, told by one of my left-wing professors, that Roe v. Wade was based on shaky law and would eventually be overturned. And then in 2023, we had more than 1 million abortions in the United States, which is the highest number of abortions in more than a decade. And the Democrats just say more, 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 because I don't think they like life.
Did I hear you correctly say that perhaps he was influenced by Gergel?
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Whether it's a harvest theme or Halloween, there's plenty of decorations to choose from at Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. They feature a wide variety of costumes and costume jewelry, along with a lot of fall decor, pumpkins, garland, wreaths, and more. Mix and match antique, shabby chic, and farmhouse furniture. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 to 6, Sunday noon to 5, and Monday 10 to 6. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson pipes and drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
The Reading Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, The Craft of Fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
The Ramsey Show.
When you're walking around with a little picket in your hand and you're saying, I demand $22 to work at McDonald's, then you don't get to bitch about inflation.
Yeah.
Because you caused it.
It's The Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Whether it's a harvest theme or Halloween, there's plenty of decorations to choose from at Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. They feature a wide variety of costumes and costume jewelry, along with a lot of fall decor, pumpkins, garland, wreaths, and more. Mix and match antique, shabby chic, and farmhouse furniture. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 to 6, Sunday noon to 5, and Monday 10 to 6. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders invites you to a free special community event Saturday, October 19th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This free event is open to the public and will feature on-site health screening, multicultural music, dancing, martial arts, and Native American practices. Free booth spaces are still available. Free international foods will also be featured, including Punjabi Indian food, Indonesian food, African food, American Mediterranean food, pizza, and even ice cream. Interact with speakers and learn more about health equity and climate resilience. Plus, there will be kids' activities, too. This event is co-sponsored by Shasta Interfaith, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. For more information, call 530-440-2626 or 530-339-0530. Don't miss this special event Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive, just off of Deschutes Road in Anderson.
Pertains to gun owning. With Kamala owning a Glock, usually a person that has any type of gun, they usually give the caliber, gauge,
right,
whatnot.
Yep.
And the thing that I was wondering is if she really does have a Glock. If she does, it should be registered. And I don't know if there's any way to fact check this, because hey, I'm not capable of doing that. With Kamala's situation. But I was just wondering if it's not registered, does she really own a Glock?
If
she does have a Glock, then if she does have a Glock, isn't that against the law of not being registered?
You're 100% right. She lives in the District of Columbia in the Vice President's residence on the grounds of the U.S. Naval Observatory, where the official timekeepers for the United States of America, along with the atomic clock in Colorado. But you're 100% right. I live in Washington, D.C., and I am a fan of the Second Amendment, and I own firearms, and I own – now, let me ask you this before I go any further, because you got me thinking, and you're 100% right. If she – I'm going to have to see if I can find somebody in the district government or the D.C. Police Department to check to see if she is, in fact, a registered gun owner, because if she owns a firearm that she brought into the District of Columbia – and, by the way, she was a member of the U.S. Senate before – becoming vice president. Amazingly, we live in an absurd time, and she was elected to the U.S. Senate from California based on nothing, and a bunch of racists out there elected her. Amazing stuff. But did she have it registered when she was in the Senate? And does she own an illegal gun in the vice president's residence? And should the FBI launch a pre-dawn raid with rifles and body armor and helmets and helmet cams and dogs and things and a CNN camera crew to go raid the vice president's residence for the illegal gun? Because you're not only do you have to be registered, but each and every firearm you own in Washington, D.C., Bill, you have to go get it looks like a driver's license. It has your photo on it and all your information like a driver's license would. Same size, hard plastic, laminated, your photograph on it for each and every firearm. You don't have to have one for all your firearms. You have to have a different one for each firearm. And if she doesn't have this card, then the gun is an illegal gun. And I got to tell you, Bill, I don't even know if I've talked about this on the radio, but you're 100% right. I've said to multiple people, I've said, you know, normally when you say, oh, you have a gun, and you're right, as you said, normally you say, I have a Glock, but you wouldn't just say you have a Glock. What would you say, Bill?
Oh, I got a .45 caliber Glock.
Right. I'd say I've got
you
a Glock.
You give the
20...
caliber first. You give the caliber.
Yeah, and you might even say, if you're talking to somebody who's a firearms owner, you might say, I've got a Glock 21, it's a .45 caliber. I've got a Glock 19, it's a 9mm. You know, I've got a Walther P99, also a 9mm. I've got a Mossberg, and you're absolutely right. And I've observed this out loud to other people, but perhaps not on the radio, that you're at. And if you own one Glock, one firearm, and somebody says, do you own a gun? Say, yeah. And you say, what kind of gun? You're absolutely right. You'd say, I've got a 9mm Glock or, you know, a Glock 19, because you figure maybe they know their Glocks. And you want, I've got a Glock 17, which is very similar to the Glock 19. It's a, you know, but you're absolutely right. So when she said that, it struck you, Bill, that she sounded like a phony gun owner. Is that right?
That is 100% correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Absolutely right.
If the FBI goes to raid her home, she better watch. They better watch. She's going to be shooting them if they come into her house.
She could. You know, that's, we've seen this before. And then if she shoots at the FBI, she'd become the hero of the story, because that's the Democrat thing. Now, do you own multiple firearms yourself?
Yes, I do. I do. Everywhere from handguns to shotguns to rifles to inlines to muzzle loaders. I'm an avid hunter.
You own firearms. And your observation is 100% correct, and I agree with you completely, that normally when you ask someone, do you own a gun? Oh, yes, I do. What kind of gun do you own? You're absolutely right. You wouldn't just give the manufacturer, like, you know, oh, I, you know what, you've got a car. I own a Chevy. You know, I've got a Corvette. And you're absolutely right. It rang hollow. It seemed fake. And I agree with you 100%. that when we heard that, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I should have brought it up myself, and I didn't. But you're 100%, and I have mentioned it at, you know, like over beers, said, wouldn't you normally say, you know, I've got a 9 mil and it's a 19, you know, the kind of mini version of the 17. And if you're talking to someone who's a gun owner, they know exactly what you're talking about. And that's how conversations go among gun owners, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, pretty amazing. We're lied to about things large and small. You know, like the FBI lying to us about the crime statistics, telling us that in 2022 the crime was down 2.1%, when in reality crime was up 4.5%, and they lied to us again. And then you ask Kamala a question, she gives you a lie. I'm beginning to think the Democrats are not the most honest people.
Well, it goes with Tim Walz also, you know, with him not being able to load a shotgun. That's pretty simple, in my opinion, if you're a gun owner, on how to load a shotgun from underneath with a pump, with a hinge action where you just drop the shells in. They're actually pretty simple. With him not being able to, I kind of wonder if he even has guns himself.
Yeah, he said that shotgun was his, and that he bought it when he was shooting a lot of trap, I think he said. And then he proved that that was a lie, too. Just like his going to Iraq was a lie, like his being the coach of the high school football team was a lie, like so many things. And you know, here's the thing, Bill. We've got a news media that could care less about any of it because of Trump derangement syndrome.
There's plenty of that going on out there.
There sure is. There sure is. Bill, great stuff. I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you brought it up, because I had, again, over beers, I had mentioned it, and I don't think that I ever talked about it on the radio. So I'm glad that you brought it up so we could talk about it on the radio. You know, they lie to us about the unemployment numbers. They lie to us about the economic numbers, about the inflation numbers. They lie to us constantly. Again, it's like the Russian author, Elena Gorokova, and her book, A Mountain of Crumbs, about the horrors of the Soviet Union, where she said the rules are simple. They lie to us. We know they're lying to us. They know we know they're lying to us. And all of that is true in Washington and in America with the Democrats and our government and the bureaucracy. We know they're lying to us. They know we know they're lying to us. Yet they keep lying to us, and we keep pretending to believe them. And that's where we are. That is, you know, Elena Gorokova wrote about the Soviet Union, and we are, because the left is here. These are not liberals. This is the left. And they're closer to being the Soviet Union than they are to being John F. Kennedy, who was a Democrat and president of the United States, who, of course, was shot in the head and killed by a communist or the deep state, one or the other. Just amazing, amazing stuff. We're lied to all the time. And then we have our news media, which is guiltier than the Soviet news media ever was, with TASS and Izvestia and Pravda. You know, they had a gun to their heads when they were lying to the people of Russia and to the people of the world. The American news media is free to tell the truth, but they choose to lie. And they do this as individuals and as groups. They do it as individuals and as collectives. And the corporate masters also that are behind these organizations, the Jeff Bezos, and these fantastically, unbelievably wealthy people that own, and people, you know, this is Elon Musk bought Twitter, and they lost their minds because, you know, that was one of their tools, one of the tools they had in their shed. Amazing stuff. Bill, thank you. Thank you for the call. I'm again in Chicago, and I get a little out of the ordinary for me, and traveling until late last night, and I want to save some of that, but amazing stuff. You know, Elon Musk is out there and campaigning. He's a Trump guy now, which is kind of amazing to everyone involved, I think. And Elon Musk is campaigning for President Trump, and he is concerned about the state of the United States of America. He's an immigrant from South Africa, and he's an African-American. Democrats hate that, but, you know, who cares what Democrats hate? They hate everything and everyone, so it doesn't really matter very much. But Elon Musk is out there, and he's campaigning for Trump. And he's also speaking up because he bought Twitter. He saw that the left in the United States, the Democrat Party and our corrupt news media, were trampling free speech in America. And he was agog and couldn't believe it. And because he's earned so much money by creating miracles all over the place, he was able to buy the entire operation and take it away from the Democrats, one of the arrows in their quiver. And just amazing stuff. Now, Elon Musk, headline in the Wall Street Journal today, on the campaign trail with Elon Musk, colon, they love their colons, offering young men an American dream. Well, you know, the Democrats are destroying the American dream because they are the left. They're not liberals. Again, I've talked about this before, and I say it because it's true. Again, John F. Kennedy, President of the United States until November of 1963, a Democrat, a World War II veteran, a Navy veteran, from a very wealthy, affluent family, of course, and his father was, a bootlegger and all that stuff. But setting that aside, John F. Kennedy today would not be allowed in the Democrat Party. He would be kicked out of the Democrat Party with extreme prejudice. And I've said that the Democrat Party today is closer on the political spectrum to Lee Harvey Oswald than they are to John F. Kennedy. I'm closer to where John F. Kennedy was than Barack Obama is. I'm much closer to where John F. Kennedy was on the political spectrum than Barack Obama. And Kamala Harris, forget about it. She doesn't know what a political spectrum is. And Joe Biden doesn't know what a spectrum is. He doesn't know anything anymore. His brain is so broke. But the Democrat Party today, closer on the political spectrum to Lee Harvey Oswald than to John F. Kennedy. And with their love of Hamas and Iran and Hezbollah and everything else, I've got an update for you on that, too. One of the kingpin terrorists being killed by the Israelis over the objections of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris because they're not on our side. Then they tried to jump in and take credit for it. Kind of amazing stuff. And the Democrat Party is also closer on the political spectrum to Sirhan Sirhan than they are to Bobby Kennedy. These are amazing times. But I got some Elon Musk for you coming up today as well. And we continue to be at 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Hey guys, not sure you heard the big news. Newsmax just filed to go public. Newsmax is big, and they give you the real news. Even Reuters Institute says Newsmax is now one of the top U.S. brands, and President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. So get more info on Newsmax's planned IPO. You may even be eligible to buy preferred shares in Newsmax now before any IPO. Find out more. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Forbes says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. You can become a co-owner today. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com and make sure you consult with your attorney or financial advisor. Investors are responsible for conducting their own due diligence for any investment and for tax and other risks and obligations. Check out NewsmaxInvest.com now.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Retired or retiring soon? How much money do you need to live comfortably? Retirement Planners of America is here for you. Would you like to have financial peace of mind? Here's how. Step 1. Find out the amount of money you'll need to retire. Step 2. Have a plan to get there. Step 3. Make sure that plan can take advantage of market gains but protect you from market losses. Discover how to do all three with a free consultation at 800-508-6108. That's 800-508-6108.
All investments involve risk, including losses. Past performance does not guarantee future results.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? The stress from excessive credit card debt can ruin your life. Collection calls, sleepless nights. If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLou is here for you. DebtLou uses secret programs that most credit card companies won't tell you about. They'll help you consolidate or settle your debts for a fraction of what you owe. With DebtLou's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved. There's no risk. The more you owe, the more DebtLou can save you. See how easy it is to get started with free information. Let DebtLou show you how 10 minutes could save you thousands. Call now, 800-200-6895. That's 800-200-6895.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLou are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Former CIA officer Jason Hansen here. As someone who's dedicated my life to protecting people, I know the importance of guarding what matters most. Right now, with global instability and the dollar's declining value, that means securing your financial assets with gold. For me, I trust Advantage Gold with my own investments. Give them a call at 800-900-8000 for a 100% free gold guide. Again, call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 today.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
All right, we've got the battle of the billionaires. I've got Elon Musk for you and Mark Cuban. Elon Musk, an immigrant to the United States, loves America, loves free speech, recognizes that our rights are under assault because the left is coming for your rights. And I want to share some of Elon Musk with you and a bit of Mark Cuban, but not too much because he annoys me. But remarkable things. We have people calling in about guns and firearms and all the lies we're being told about that by these various people, by Tim Walz, who didn't go to Iraq, who wasn't the head coach, all kinds of things. Probably wasn't his shotgun and our filthy news media. But right now, let's go to Bob calling from Pasadena, Maryland. Oh, Bob, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Bob.
The other day when he was pheasant hunting, he was trying to load that semi-automatic shotgun, and he said he bought it while he was doing a lot of trap shooting. Nobody trap shoots with a semi-auto. It's over and under, and there's even single-shot trap. But no one does it with a semi-auto shotgun.
Pheasant hunting.
Yeah. Well, the trap shooting. He said he purchased the semi-auto Beretta that he was trying to fumble and load while he was doing a lot of trap shooting, I guess, in the past when he was dealing with boys in high school. I guess that was when he bought the trap. I don't know.
Yeah, another story that's still, the news media has kicked to the curb. You're right about that. So you are an experienced shooter.
No, I've been around. I've been around guns my whole life, you know, and I've done a little bit of everything with it, black powder, you know, everything, speed shooting with pistols, you know, all of that stuff. And I've been around trap a little bit, and I know that you do not trap shoot with a semi-auto shotgun.
Well, also, they were pheasant hunting, and at the end of the hunt with a group of men, there was not one pheasant. Nobody killed one. He didn't take a shot all day. And nobody in his group shot a single pheasant, and the news media didn't find any of that curious at all either.
Right. Right. Nothing but lies from all these people.
I mean, and if you're going to lie about the little things, you know, we've all known people in our lifetimes who were not truth tellers, who lied. And if you know somebody that lies about the little things, then you know, and irrelevant things where the truth would do just as well, then you know that these people are untrustworthy. Because if you lie about irrelevant things, then you lie about things that matter too, right? And you shouldn't believe people that lie about everything, and you certainly shouldn't elect them to high office. Am I right, Bob? Bob went away. That's exactly right. Don't believe liars. And if they lie about little...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.